Lakshya Labhe. Hare कृष्णा 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 हे कृष्णा 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 हे
Come on. ಸ್ವಯಂ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯೋ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಿಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಿಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಿಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಿಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಿಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimadhi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhinamine. Namaste Sarasvadevim Gauravani Prajarine. Narvisheshunyavadi Paschati Deshadarine. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂ ಧಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಅನಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ದೂರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶದಾರಿಣೆ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ಮನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದಿನಧಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾಭ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಧ್ವಾಂಧಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬ್ರಸಾಂಬೋಧೆ ಪದಾಂಬುಜಾಯತೆ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದನಾಮಿನಿ ಶೌರ್ಯಶಕ್ತಿಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ಯುಗನುಗವರಾಯತೆ ಗೌರವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮೇ ಸ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೇಷ್ಟ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯತೆ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ದೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದಾನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಂ ಸುರತೋಪಾಂಗೋರ್ ಮಮ ಮಂದ ಮದೇರ್ಗದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವ ಪದಾಂಭೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದಿವ್ಯವೃಂದಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮಂದ್ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮಂತ್ರಾದಾ ಶೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೌ ಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾಳಿಭಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀ ವಟತಟಸ್ಥಿತ ಕರ್ಷನ್ ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಭಿರ್ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥಾ ಶ್ರೀಯೇಸ್ತುನ ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhupendra, do you have 10th candle here?
10th candle?
Oh.
10th candle, I won't go.
You don't go, okay, that's all right. Then it's okay.
You go
10th candle?
Yeah.
So, last Sunday, when we were discussing this ninth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, we have seen Krishna mentions two very important verses there. Remember? And when we discussed those verses, I mentioned that they are not to be understood. It's not going to be understood easily. It's meant for realization. After realization, you will know that what Krishna has spoken is the truth. So those two verses which we've seen before, one mentions that Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhudani nachaham teshu avasthida. That is one verse. And the next one, najamatstani bhudani pashyame yogamishwaram bhudabhannaja bhudasto malma bhudabhavana. You can read any amount of translation and commentaries on this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It won't make any head and tail. Because it is like that, the way Krishna has spoken those verses is meant to be understood after realizing the self. After realizing the self. Only after that we will experience that what Krishna says in those two verses. Najamatstani bhudani pashyame yogamaishwaram. In other words, Krishna's point is here that once a person becomes serious about realizing the self, knowing what he is, then the inquiry comes to a different level altogether. It comes to a different platform altogether. That person, Krishna is saying, if he is serious, he will realize it here in this world before he leaves his body. If you look into the fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse Krishna mentions this. Fifth chapter, 19th verse. He's saying that this is not something, spiritual realization is not something to happen after death. If you go in that route, nothing will happen here. We'll live what we are doing now, we'll continue doing it, and nothing will happen. But look at that verse, the 19th verse in the 5th chapter. Krishna is saying there, Ihaiva tairjita sargo, right here. Ihaiva means in this life. Iha. In this life, jita sargo. What? Yesham samyestidam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani destidaha. He's saying that ihaivadair jidasargo. Right now here, he will win over creation. What is creation means? Creation means not all that what we see. Creation means this changing body. That is the creation. Birth, death, this is creation. Whatever the matter that has been created, that's not given much of a importance. Importance is for our changing the body. Constantly changing this body, one birth body to another body to another body, continuously taking birth and death, continuously going through that process, that is called sargam, srishti, creation in other words. That he has already won over that. That's what he's saying here. Ihaivadarjita sargo, he has won over that thing. And yesham samyasthidam manaha, what is his state? Samyasthiti, samamtvam yogam uchyade, Krishna says. He is in samatvam state, always samyasthiti. Samyasthiti means no disturbances any more in the mind. That state is what Krishna is expecting. If you read the translation, you will see those whose minds... 519. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. He's saying here, those whose, if you look into the word by word meaning, you will see iha, in this life, te jida sarga, jida means conquered, sarga means birth and death. He has already conquered birth and death in this life itself, not after leaving the body. Right now, he says here, those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. If you read the purport on that, equanimity of mind, as mentioned above, is the sign of self-realization. Whose mind is not fickle all the time, getting disturbed over everything, that's not a sign of self-realization. It is a sign of equanimity of mind, as mentioned above, is the sign of self-realization. Those who have actually attained to such a stage should be considered to be to have conquered material conditions, specifically birth and death. As long as one identifies with this body, he is considered as a conditioned soul, but as soon as he is elevated to the stage of equanimity through realization of self, he is liberated from conditional life. In other words, he is no longer subject to take birth in the material world, but can enter into the spiritual sky after his death. The Lord is flawless because he is without attraction or hatred. That means he has freedom from the dvandvam, duality of attachment and aversion, freedom from the ragam and dvesham. And similarly, when a living entity is without attraction or hatred, he also becomes flawless and eligible to enter into the spiritual sky. Such persons are to be considered already liberated, and their symptoms are described below. So, in a few verses, when we discuss this fifth chapter, we have seen that. So, Krishna is giving importance in Bhagavad Gita to this important point, that right now it has to happen, not after death. Ihaivadairjita sargo tesha yesham samyasthidam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahmam tasmad brahmanide sthidaha. So, important thing is that we have seen these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. If they are realized here, Krishna says that is a sign of self-realization here. Those verses what Krishna has spoken here. And that is why, strictly speaking, in the Vaidika tradition, when the spiritual master and the disciple has met each other, the spiritual master is not seeing the disciple anymore in the body. Body is not important for him anymore. The symptom is that if the disciple's vyavasayalpamiya buddhi, that means his commitment to spiritual life, is really genuine, if he is serious about it, the spiritual master will know that Krishna inside as the Antaryami has woken up, is ready to take the message. Once the spiritual master gets that message from the disciple, he does not look at the body anymore, and there is no more verbal instructions to him. All what the spiritual master does is asking Krishna, who is inside the heart of the disciple, to wake up. It is Krishna who has to wake up from inside. And that is why, remember, when we discussed the Shruti Gita, that prayers, the first verse itself, that is what it is all about. That spiritual master is waking up Krishna who is within the heart of everyone. Remember the Hridsthanam, what Krishna says, where he is present in everybody. Many verses in the Bhagavad Gita will support that word, that position of Krishna's position in the heart. Not the mechanical one, but the other one. Mechanical one for the doctors. This is for the spiritualists. So that is what Krishna is saying there. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhudani andrarudhani maya. That hriddesham, that is there. You will also see in another verse, jyotisham abhidat jyoti. In the, I think there is another verse there. Krishna says, there are so many places in the Bhagavad Gita you will see that. Krishna pointing out to that spot here. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti. There is a verse. Yeah, 13:18. Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sanyasya sarvasya vishtitam. Hridi sarvasya vishtitam. So jyotisham abhidat jyoti tasmad tamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtitam. He is situated in everyone's heart, Krishna says there. What is interesting here is the Sanskrit word is hrit. From Hrit came the English word heart. But it so happened that everything gone into the other side, that's all. Original word is Hrit. From there the English word heart came. From Sanskrit, the Hrit word, the heart has come. There is very little, only they put a H-E-A-R-T, isn't it? H-R-T is already there, they put E-A there and made it extended heart. But when the heart came, it moved on to the left side instead of the... But this is the original word, is Hrit. Not the mechanical heart. But somehow it happened. Thousands of years it must have happened. But whatever it is, the immediate point is that Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam. It is here importance in the spiritual life. This side. Hridi Sarvasya Vishtidam. Sarvasya Jaham Hridi Sanyivishto. Krishna says, isn't it? In another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So Hridi is more. Everything is happening here in this. In anywhere in the world, if you talk to someone or you accuse somebody about something, they'll say, I've not done it, you'll say. Automatically hands goes here. Wherever it is in the world, it doesn't matter. I've not done it, you'll say. And you touch here. So you know where I is. I is present inside there. So in the spiritual life also, Krishna's point is, That waking up of Krishna inside is the most important point. And that is why these two verses are related to that. Mayatadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matsani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avastida. Krishna says there in that verse, isn't it? Fifth or sixth verse is? Fourth. Yeah. Mayatadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matsani sarvabhutani. This is matsani. Na chaham teshu avastida. That's one thing. And then the next one also, Krishna is saying, what was that? Naja matsthani bhudani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhudabhrannaja bhudasto mamalma bhudabhavana. Those two verses. So, they are to be understood after realization, and that is why first realization of the self. Realization of the self inside the heart, self inside everyone. So, if you look, many places you will see that Krishna also said in the earlier, Pratyaksham Avagamam Dharmyam. He says there earlier, isn't it? In the first verse, I think. Pratyaksham Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam. Second verse. So, Krishna is saying to us, when you realize it, you can see, directly experience that inside. Closer than anything else, what you can see with your eyes. Even closer than that, deeper than that, you will realize Krishna's presence inside. പ്രത്യക്ഷ അവഗമം ധർമ്മം സുസുഖം കർത്തും അവ്യയം. സോ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് ടു റിയലൈസ് സംതിങ് പ്രത്യക്ഷം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു കം ത്രൂ സെൻസസ്, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു കം ത്രൂ സെൻസസ്. സോ ഇഫ് യു ആസ്ക് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് പോസിബിൾ ടു നോ ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ത്രൂ സെൻസസ്? ദാറ്റ്സ് എൻ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, isn't it? Is it possible to know the truth, absolute truth, through senses? So if you ask that question, so in reality it is like this: after realizing the self, after realizing the self, even through the senses, if you see the world, what you see there in the world is only Krishna. That is that realization. After realizing the self, whatever you see in the creation, it is Krishna. Not in the form of two hands and two legs. That's not what it is. It's that spiritual nature of the creation one will come to experience. Spiritual nature of the creation. Up to that point, everything is matter for us. We see everything as matter. We can't see, we have this separation of matter and spirit, isn't it? But matter is also actually spirit. In a very undeveloped state, that is. That's why it's called matter, isn't it? That's why it's called matter. Just like you can see, our own body is the best example for that. In its gross form, it's a gross body. In its subtle form, it's a subtle body. And subtler than that is the soul. Subtler than that is the soul. So the soul, when it becomes grosser form it takes, it turns into the form of subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego. And then when it becomes very gross, it becomes the gross body. That's all it is. So from soul, everything has come. Soul is the basis. From there, the mind, body, intelligence, ego has come. And then when it became further, grosser form, it manifested in the form of body. In the form of body. So, the important thing Krishna says there is this, that when we have the highest realization of the self, when you open your eyes and look in the creation, everywhere what you see is Krishna. Nothing different. Nothing is different than the what you have realized inside. That is an important point. Yatra yatra, Upanishad says, yatra yatra manoyadi tatra tatra samadhayaha. Wherever mind goes in, every there it is samadhi state. Samadhi state, that means realization state. So in the Bhagavatam, you will see there in the fourth canto, if you look, there is a verse there in the Rudra Gita. Do you have the fourth canto? Yeah, I'll read the translation also, like easier then. This is a famous prayers in the Bhagavatam called Rudra Gitam. Rudra Gitam is the prayers where the Prachetas offers prayers to Lord Shiva when they came out of the water. Says here, 24, 64. Says, Srishtam sashakketam anupravishtas chaturvidam puram atmasakshen atmas atmamshagena അധോ വിധിസ്ഥം പുരുഷം ശാന്തമന്തർ ഭുങ്ക്തേ കൃഷേർ മധുസാരഗം മധുസാരഗംയാം സൃഷ്ടം സ്വശക്യേതമനുപ്രവിഷ്ടസ് ചതുർവിധം പരം ആത്മൻ ആത്മശക്കേന അധോ വിധുസ്ഥം പുരുഷം ശാന്തമന്തർ ഭുങ്ക്തേ കൃഷികേർ മധുസാരഗംയാം. മൈ ഡിയർ ലോർഡ്, ആഫ്റ്റർ ക്രിയേറ്റിംഗ് യുവർ ഓൺ പൊട്ടൻസീസ്, you enter within the creation in four kinds of forms. Being within the hearts of the living entities, you know them and know how they are enjoying their senses. The so-called happiness of this material creation is exactly like the bees' enjoyment of honey after it has been collected in the honeycomb. Now, from this, so many things you can understand. This Rudra Gitam prayers, what is called here as Rudra Gitam, in these prayers that Krishna is saying, Shiva is saying there that if you consider that all our senses, eyes, ears and the tongue, smell, nose, everything. If you consider something like a golden plate in which if you are drinking the nectar with a golden plate, similarly, when Krishna has entered inside of every living entity, what he is doing is, through these different senses, he is drinking the nectar from the world. He is drinking the nectar from the world. So, prabhanjam, prabhanjam means this creation, whole creation itself. Through the whole creation itself is Brahman's another form. There is only Brahman in a creation. That Brahman is coming through the senses and drinking this nectar of this world. That is sense gratification, in other words. Our so-called happiness, what we get in enjoying the senses, is nothing but the power of the soul, Krishna, who is inside everyone. It comes through the senses and experiences this world, and then we feeling happiness due to that. That is our sense gratification in this world. But because there is avidya inside, ajnanam inside, we do not know the subtleties of things behind what is happening here in the creation. So that is why you say, and when it sees that, they are realizing that all the vastu, what is seen in the world outside, is also Krishna's another manifestations. They are not different from Krishna. They are not different from Krishna. So, but if you say this to someone, it is difficult for them to understand that, because we cannot experience it. That is the problem. That is why these two verses, Mayatadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhudani nachaham teshu avastida nacha matsthani bhudani pashyame yoga maishwaram. Krishna is saying, that is the beauty of that yoga power, Krishna is saying. That yoga means maya, maya's power. Krishna is saying there, the power of maya is like this, that naja matsthani bhudani pashyame yoga maishwaram bhuda bhrannaja bhudasto mamalma bhuda bhavana. That second verse there. So, even though it's only me who is doing everything, Krishna is saying, I'm entered into everyone's heart inside, I'm sitting there, I'm coming through the senses of every living being, and I enjoy everything what is in the creation, which is also me, not different from me. So Krishna himself comes, enters into the living entity's heart, sitting there, through the living entity's senses it goes out, and he enjoys everything that is in the creation. We have to understand it like that, otherwise there will be a lot of difficulties. If we change this understanding, like we are discussing yesterday, that there is that verse in the Brahma Samhita, isn't it? Brahma Samhita, that verse. Angani yasya sagalendriya vritti mandi pashyandi pandi. Now, that verse is always a little bit of a question mark to everyone, isn't it? What does it mean, actually? Angani yasya sagalendriya vritti mandi pashyandi pandi kalayandi the Ananda Chinmaya Jala Vigrahasya Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. Every morning we hear this verse in the temple. So if you look, I don't know the translation there, that it says that Anganiyasya Sagala Indriya Vrittimandi, all activities of the senses, Sagala Indriya Vrittimandi, Pashyandi, Pandi, Kalayandi, Jiram Jagandi, that Krishna is able to eat through all the senses. And it says there, Krishna can, through one sense, enjoy everything. For example, Krishna can eat with the eyes. Krishna can eat with the ears. Krishna can eat with the tongue, of course, which is the normal. Krishna can eat with the nose. All sensual activities can be performed by all senses. Krishna's all senses. Isn't it? So what do we say then? We say Krishna is amazing, isn't it? Wow! But actually, the way to understand that verse is that Krishna, if you bring that on a stage, that Krishna is the person who is doing that. Krishna's Brahman aspect is that you have to take there. who is situated in everyone as the soul, these senses, different senses what we have got, they are all just holes. That's all. They are just holes. There's nothing more than that there. Even the senses are able to enjoy anything because of the presence of Krishna inside. So, for Krishna to enjoy anything through any hole is not a problem. That is that Anganiya says, Sagale Indriya Vrittimandi, he says. All senses, the enjoying force behind any enjoyment is Krishna. The enjoying force behind any enjoyment is Krishna. We are thinking, in our body, we can't do that, can we? Because we think that eyes are only meant for seeing, and ears are also only meant for hearing, and tongue is meant only for tasting. Similarly, nose is only meant for smelling, or skin is only meant for touching. We are already defined like that. But what you remember is, in each of these senses, if Krishna is not coming and giving that power for these senses to enjoy, the senses can't enjoy anything. None of these senses can work. And that power, which comes through different senses, is one. They are not different. That is the important thing. Because that Krishna who is coming and through different senses and enjoying, that power is one. The same power can manifest through eyes in one way, through the tongue in another way, through the nose in a different way, through ear in a different way. That's another thing. But the power is the same. So therefore, Anganiyasya Sagale Indriya Vrittimandi. He can do the function of all the senses. Because if he is not there, none of these holes can function. That is how you have to accept, understand that verse. Not that look there and say to Krishna that you are amazing, you've got all these different capacity to function with various senses in this way. Whereas we don't have that. We've got only one sense for one purpose. For example, if if our senses are failed, that means if our eyesight is lost, then we have lost, isn't it? We can't see anymore anything. But what you have to remember is this, that we are limited in that sense. That if Krishna decides, everything is possible in the sense that Krishna is one, Atma inside. It is completely on the spiritual platform. Everything, whether it is in the Bhagavad Gita or Bible, everywhere if you look, they are talking about things from the spiritual platform, but the spiritual identity they have taken. And they are speaking from that level. If you bring it to bodily identity, the message will change. It cannot carry the message anymore on a bodily level. It cannot be carried away. So that is why in the past, when the spiritual master met the disciple, he knows very well that disciple may be competent or not. That is another thing. First, if he sees that inside the disciple has that power woken up, that's the first thing. If it has woken up, then he knows what he has to do. So that prayers Shuddhi Gita, you can see that prayers. Jaya jaya jaha, jaya jaya jekhya jama jidya dosha kribhita gunam tomasiyada alma sama avarudda samastamagha samastabhagam agajagadogasam aghila shakta avabhodagate kujit ajayatmana acharadonu chare nikamaham ബൃഹദ് ഉപലബ്ധമേതത് അവന്യവശേഷതയ യത ഉദയാസ്തമയോ വികൃതേ മൃതി വാ വികൃതാൻ അത കൃഷയോ രഘുസ്ഥവി ധതുസ്ഥവി മനോവചനാചരിതം കഥമയഥാ ഭവന്തി ഭുവി ദത്തപദാനി നൃണാം. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ അവർ ശ്രുതിഗീത ക്ലാസ്സസ്. ഇഫ് യു റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് ഓർ ഇഫ് നോട്ട് യു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ആൻഡ് കൻ ലിസൺ ടു ഇറ്റ്. Jai Jai Jahedam, that is the Shruti Gita prayers to Krishna. Shruti Gita's prayers to Krishna. What is Shruti Gita? Shruti Gita is this, that how to wake up Krishna inside everybody's heart. How to wake him up from there. That waking up process. That's what Shruti is doing there. Vedas personified. They are doing that. So, it is based on that question that once a young man, 14, 15 years old, he goes to his, he had this intense fire inside to realize the truth. He had this intense, he was on fire, in other words. He wanted to realize the truth at any cost. When that happens to someone, nobody can stop it. And Krishna will make the arrangements that the right person brought him in front of him. So that sannyasi asked this young person that that why is he want to realize the truth. He says, I don't need anything else. Exactly like Nachiketa's had that fire when he went to Yama. That determination inside says to him that seeing that determination, the sannyasi realized that Krishna has woken up inside. Once it's woken up, you can't stop it. Somewhere, somebody will come and give that realization from inside. And he will be willing to sacrifice anything at that point. And therefore, this is what is expected, that it should happen to everyone in this life. In this life, we are supposed to have that fire inside going. But what has happened, unfortunately, is that we have become victimized by the material energy. Material energy made us feel that body is important and we have to make a living in this world, and therefore so many opportunities we have created for that purpose. So therefore, in the name of maintaining the body and the security of life, we have become more and more sluggish in our life, ourselves. We have become very lazy in that way. Spiritually very lazy, but materially very active in that one. So that is what we mentioned, if you remember, Bhajovindam prayers, Udharanamitam Bhagurda Vesham. For the sake of belly, any dress we are willing to put on now, anything we are willing to do. So Shastram is not saying that you should not have a living, make a living, but it should be only for very minimum needs, to maintain the body or for a place to lie down. Beyond than that, the other time and energy has to be directed towards the realizing the truth. That's what I'm saying. So you can see, observing in the material nature also, all living entities only struggle for bodily maintenance, isn't it? Beyond the, after they had enough, satisfied, they got sufficient to eat, then they stop. They don't hunt anymore. Even the lions, they don't hunt once they had that enough to eat. But only in the human species, among, if you take all the 8.4 million species of in this creation, we say we are the topmost one, isn't it? But if you really look at it, non 8.399 million doesn't have any economic problems. And we seems to be all over the world, from Los Angeles to Sydney, is only discussing about economic development. And we are supposed to be the topmost one of all. So are we really the topmost one? Do we think like that? Everywhere this is the only discussion going on, isn't it? Economic development, economic development. And never seems to be satisfied any time. Always this anxiety about eating, sleeping, and GDP rising. The scale has to go up every day. So much fear and anxiety created in this way shows that even looking at animals, they don't seem to have this kind of anxiety about life. They seem to be satisfied with what they get, and once their belly is full, they lie down. They don't go afterwards anymore for economic development. So so here, important thing is that filling the belly, that's acceptable. But are the basic, very basic amenities. But apart from that, simply for the sake of, in the name of economic development and reaching the most advanced country in the world and thinking that this is the only business in this life, it is really sad that it has gone in that way. And therefore, in that process, we kill ourselves. We kill ourselves, our spiritual life is gone. So here, Shudgita, that is what Shudgita is saying here, that once it has woken up in somebody, which one? This awareness inside, that Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi, if it wakes up in a person, then if he comes automatically in contact with a person who knows that it has woken up inside. And after that, he would not even necessarily to talk to that disciple or the aspiring person, but he will see that inside Krishna is waking up. Krishna is waking up from inside. So in the past tradition also, when the disciple sits in front of the spiritual master, he give him diksha. That diksha is shrautam. Shrautam means shruti, based on the shruti. Shruti, based on the shruti, when diksha is given, it's called shrautam. Shrauta diksha, it is called. Because what is the idea behind that diksha? in that Diksha, nothing is spoken. Nothing is spoken from the spiritual master to the disciple. Sometimes spiritual master will look at the disciple, that is sufficient, that he will see that inside, because he is a realized soul, he will see the change that is happening in the disciple. In the disciple, how that intense desire is waking up inside for self-realization. So he knows very well that inside that disciple, Krishna is sleeping there covered with a blanket. What's that blanket? The mind. Mind is the blanket. He is sleeping there. He is there inside. Only thing is, he's covered himself with this blanket called mind. Blanket called the mind. So, while we are sleeping, we also cover ourselves with the quilt or the blanket, isn't it? In the same way, in that disciple's heart also, he is sleep. Andaryami, Krishna, is sleeping there, covered with the mind. Mind is the blanket there. So, the spiritual master don't give any trouble to the disciple. Doesn't give any trouble to the disciple. What he does is that he is addressing that Andaryami who is inside the disciple's heart to wake up. He's not giving any problem to the disciple. That is the system. Then he does not want to give any trouble to the disciple. And if the disciple has developed all the necessary qualifications of a disciple, what is expected, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, that spiritual master can wake him up straight away from inside, from the disciple's heart. Krishna can be woken up. At that time, no word is spoken directly to the disciple. Everything is addressed to the Andaryami inside. Everything addressed to the Andaryami, not to the disciple, but to the Andaryami inside. That's why Shuddhagita prayers, if you look, you will see all the verses are addressing the Andaryami Krishna inside. Andaryami Krishna inside. Jaya Jaya Jaga glorifying Andaryami inside. Jaya 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 Jahama Jahya Jama Jida Dosha Mrubhida Gunam Tomasiya Dhatmana Samavirudda Samastha Bhagaha Aga Jagado Aga Sam Akila Shakta Avabhodagate Avabhodagate. That because from him Avabhodham comes. Bhodham Avabhodagate. Wake up from that state. Who is inside everyone's heart in the form of awareness inside. Kojit ajida jaya atmana ada charado anuchare nigamaha brihat ubalabhyate idam avayandya avasheshadaya eda udayastamayo vigrader mrdiva vigradan atha rishayo dhustavi mano vajana charidam katham avathaya bhavandi bhuvi datta badani nirnam. So, Shuddhagita prayers is saying like this, and spiritual master is addressing the disciple, keeping this principle in him. This is the principle. That like Shruti Vedam is waking up, asking Krishna to wake up, spiritual master is asking Krishna in the heart of the disciple to wake up. It's a parallel thing. That Shruti is asking Krishna to wake up. Scriptures also does the same thing, asking Krishna to wake up from inside. Similarly, spiritual master also does not address the disciple anymore, addresses Krishna who is in the heart to wake up. Because if you wake up, then that is his disciple is realizes the truth at that point. So, that is that. You will see this, as I mentioned also at that time, Uttishta Uttishta Govinda Uttishta Garidadvaja Uttishta Kamala Akanda Trailokyam Mangalam Kuru. That when Vishwamitra took Ramchandra and Lakshmana into the forest, then in the morning, Ramachandra and Lakshmana were woken up by Vishwamitra. That is those prayers in the Valmiki Ramayanam. That is what has been recited in the Tirupati and other temples. What they recite that in the morning to wake up. Wake up who? They are asking Ramachandra, you wake up. Actually, it is addressing who is Ramachandra there? There is a soul inside. Uttishta Uttishta Govinda Uttishta Giridandaja. So, that's why it is. So, Atmanehi Made Anuchare Nigamaham. So, here in this verse, Shuddhagita it says that when you are addressing Krishna, it go, the prayers goes through the mind. Prayers goes through the mind. And if it gets lost in the mind, then it won't reach the destination, proper destination. Therefore, Vedam says like this, that it should not go into the mind, but it should transcend the mind, these prayers, in other words. Whatever that is coming in, that Shruti Gita prayers is a little hard prayers in the Bhagavatam. I should say that it's the most difficult part in the Bhagavatam, the Shruti Gita prayers. And that prayers, he says, Vedam says that, Nigama, he says there, Bhuvi Tattva Badani Nirnam, Adakrishayo Dudustha Vimano Vajana Charidam Katham Ayatha Bhavandi Bhuva Tattva Badani Nirnam. You will see a word there, Ya Charado Anuchare Nigamaha. Anuchare Nigamaha. Sometimes it goes through the mind, but without going to the mind, and it should transcend that the Tattvajnanam also, it should realize the truth and Nigamam. Nigamam means that goal what Vedam is pointing out. And that is the Vedam is pointing out the truth inside, Krishna inside. It should go to that point, that prayers, what is spoken in the Shruti Gita. So, in other words, that is the Upanishad Margam. Upanishad Margam means the process of Upanishads, path of Upanishads, and it should go to the point. In other words, if it gets stuck in the mind, means he's stuck in Maya. You're stuck there. If anything, any spiritual understanding in what we receive from the Shastram or anyone, if it goes to the mind, that means it's gone to the Maya side. It has not gone to the place where it's meant to go. It didn't go. It's gone. Most of the time, that's what happens. Everything we receive, it goes to the mind, and mind makes some judgments, good or bad, or good, right or wrong, and then we take it or leave it. It goes like that, isn't it? So the mind, if it takes it, it's gone in the wrong way. It's gone into the Maya. So therefore, it has to go to the right spot. That is the most important thing. Shastram is there, but if you read the Shastram and study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and if it is all on a mental platform, it is useless. It is useless, totally useless. Therefore, because if you think that with the mind and intelligence you can understand the truth, that's not possible. That is the prime principle behind it. So that is where Shraddha comes. Shraddha means not the mind, not the intelligence. The inside spiritual awakening has happened. Spiritual energy has started working in a person. Such a person has got Shraddha. If it is mind, what will happen is, mind won't be able to capture this. So after a while, you'll fall to sleep. At that point, you can see that the message is going in the wrong route when the sleep comes. That's what it's indicating. It's not going in the right spot. It's going in a wrong place. It's going to the wrong place. So therefore, some certain things to understand in spiritual life, that if we get inspired to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you should never take it in a cheap way. You should not think, oh, I made the decision, or it's my mind, I have thought that I'll go and hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. No. That decision is Antaryami's decision inside. Antaryami's decision inside. We may or may not understand this today, because we are always used to making decisions with the mind and the intelligence, isn't it? But in reality, anything related to the spiritual decisions is made by Antaryami from inside. And that is why, actually, therefore, in the ancient traditions, that a disciple or a spiritually very inquisitive person, if he comes to a spiritual master inquiring about the truth, the spiritual master worshipped him, the disciple. Why? Reason is this. He can see that the power that has brought him, drawn him for that, is not him. It is that Krishna presence inside, who has sparked that fire inside him to inquire after the truth. Because it doesn't happen very easily. You can see that in this world, isn't it?
It's not so easy to create that fire inside, to inquire about the truth. So in the ancient times, when initially, first of all, they won't go and bring people, catch all the people, like in India, you know how it is. In all the bus stand, if you go, there'll be somebody shouting, come to this bus, come to this bus. And they'll call out the direction which way the bus is going. In India, it's quite common. In all the bus stations, if you go, they'll be shouting. There'll be some agents for the bus companies, private bus companies. And they'll be shouting. And people who are going on the street, they'll say, where are you going? Come here. This is the bus for you. Even if you want to go, we'll try to get you into that bus. In spiritual life, you can't do that. You can't pull people like that. Unless from inside he decides that you want it, only that person will make it. Otherwise, if you bring those people, you'll get into the bus. After a while, you'll say, this is not the right bus. You'll get out and walk away. You'll always see this in bus stations, don't you? You'll get in, and then after a few minutes, they'll walk out from there. So it'll end up like that. You won't be able to stay in spiritual life. But so the thing is this, that when Krishna decides from inside, he prompts us that let's take this seriously or to come and listen to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. That decision is Krishna's decision inside. It is a very, very slight indication of that power inside showing its nature, showing its nature from inside. Something, there are so much to do in this world otherwise, apart from hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, isn't it? If one wants to do it, you can go for so many different kinds of engagements in this world if you want to spend your time in that way. But when it's not happening, something is telling us inside, there is something to it that I have to hear about Krishna's words. I have to take Krishna's words seriously. So why is this feeling coming? It's coming from that Krishna's inside who is prompting that within. It's a very small indication of that power that is inside showing its life inside. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, whether we have understood Krishna's message or not, that is another thing. That's completely immaterial. That we may not realize it today. That takes many, many years of life. And when Krishna wants to realize it and give it to us, he may give it to us at that time. That is another question. But some power is bringing us and putting us in front of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and making us to think and listen to Krishna's words. That itself is the indication of that power, what is happening inside. So, and that power will keep coming life after life. Life after life, it will take us in that direction. And if we somehow wake up that, when he starts waking up, if you take notice of that and start giving life to it, that is that Shraddha. Shraddha is the one that gives that power to that energy, power that's waking up inside. And it is that power which comes to us externally in the form of spiritual master, in the form of Krishna or Ramachandra or whatever form you want to call it. Doesn't matter. It is that power inside. In a person's heart, when he has developed that intense desire for realizing the truth, there is a power there behind it. It is that power which manifests in front of us in different forms. A form of spiritual master, form of Krishna, form of Ramchandra, form of Shiva, whatever that form it comes out, it is the same power. It's not different from that power what is inside. What is inside? And that is what Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita here. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsani sarvabhudani najaham teshu avastida. Krishna says there that everywhere that power is there, this power which Krishna is talking about. Mayatadam idam sarvam, in everyone it is there. And how, just like the sky, the air is moving in the sky. Similarly, Krishna says here, it is in the background of that power who is present there. It is due to the background of that power, all living entities are appearing, they are sustained here, and they are eventually leaving their body also. But behind the appearance and disappearance of all the living entities, Krishna is saying that power remains. That is, Krishna's Antaryami or the soul or the Atma is present, which is addressed. You may call by different names, Brahman, Atma, Paramatma. These are all different words for it. But the power is, Vastu is the same. The object is the same thing. So there is nothing in this creation except that power. That is the most important thing. Ultimately, everything goes back into the same source where it came from, and it gets dissolved in that. And that is what these verses mean, actually. Maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhudani na chaham teshu avastida na cha matstani bhudani pashyame yogam aishwaram. It is a difficult verses to understand with the mind, but if you have understood anything, that's not my mistake then. If you have understood it, because it's not meant for understanding. Najamatsani Bhudani Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram Bhuda Bhrannaja Bhudasto Mamalma Bhuda Bhavana. Krishna is saying there. So we will leave those two verses and let us go into the next verses. Next few verses. Next one is the sixth one. Krishna says text 6 yatha kashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tatha sarvani bhutani matstaniti ubadharayam yatha kashastito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tatha sarvani bhutani matstaniti ubadharayam yatha kashastito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matstani iti ubadharaya. Krishna says, as the mighty wind blowing everywhere always rests in ethereal space, know that in the same manner all beings rest in me. We mentioned that last Sunday also, isn't it? Five material elements. The most gross one is the earth. Earth is present in the water, is it not? Earth is present in the water. Water is present in the fire. Fire is present in the air. Air is present in the space. Air in the present space. So, if you look into the way material elements segregate into these five different forms, originally there is only space. It's from the space everything else comes out, one after the other. So when they start coming out, as they come out in that order, from space came the air, air and fire, and fire to water, and water to earth. Yeah. So you look into the qualities of each of them, you can see earth, if you leave something there, it will stay there. It won't move. It will stay there like that. If you go to the next one, water, water has got the capacity to spread. It spreads straight away. If you leave water, some water there, it will spread straight away. In other words, it can move in that way. Then if you go to the next one, which is fire, fire has got the capacity to grow in upwards and in horizontally also. It can spread in both ways, isn't it? It can go up, it can spread in horizontally also. Then if you move further than that, fire goes into the air. Air can go everywhere in the space. You can go everywhere. Air can travel without any restriction. In other words, much more mobility for the air compared to the fire. Much more mobility for the fire compared to water. And much more mobility for water than compared to earth. This is the difference between the material elements' nature. So, but all of them, air, fire, water and the earth, they are all taken inside by the space. They are all in the space, isn't it? Space is what is holding them. Krishna says here in this, yatha akasha stito nityam, akasha means the space, stito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan. The vayu can go can go anywhere inside, but only within the space it can move. It can't go outside the space. So ethereal space, know that in the, but Krishna says, including that space, I am carrying it. It is within me. That's the point. It is an amazing thing to understand that. Krishna's point is that you see, space itself is an amazing phenomenon, isn't it? Space. Space is a very amazing thing. What this thing called space is. We talk about space. What does space means actually? So everything is in the space. Everything is in the space. Air is in the space. And we are all in the space, isn't it? We are all in the space. We think we are sitting on the ground, but the whole thing is moving inside the space. Is it not? There is a space required. So all living entities are in the space, or in the space. All, not only living entities, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything what you can see is all inside the space. So everything is in the space. Just like the air is moving in the space, we are all also moving in the space in the same way. So Krishna is saying here, like all living entities are in the space is also standing in me, within me. They are also within me. Because space itself is within me, Krishna is saying here. When Krishna says within me means in Brahman, in Brahman. Brahma means in the soul. Soul is the one which is holding this whole thing together. In other words, what does that soul means? Soul means consciousness. It has to be consciousness. It is in the consciousness or in the awareness that this whole creation, why do we say like that? Because you can see here, it is due to this awareness inside. When we, this statement, we have to accept it. If you accept it, it is the right thing to do. But if you're not getting it, doesn't matter. See, like all these elements is in the space. Krishna is saying the space is also in the awareness, in consciousness. If your awareness is not there, our bodham is not there, bodham is not there, there is no space, there is no material elements. You see that? Everything is because of your awareness, you are feeling the existence of all these things. Isn't it? Because of the awareness only you are feeling the existence of everything. Therefore, they say that everything exists in the awareness. It is not the physical presence. The experience of its existence is through awareness. Is it not? Only because you are aware of all the existence of the space, existence of the air, fire, water, ether, earth, everything, they are all, because of your awareness, you are aware of that, that they are all present in your awareness. Therefore, bodham is, or awareness is the envelope to everything. It is in awareness, all of them are present. So, and it is in that awareness only this creation comes. And it is in the awareness this creation disappears also. When you lose your awareness of this world, what does it mean? It means that world may be existing or not, but as far as you are concerned, the existence is finished with the in the awareness. This awareness is such an important thing, consciousness. We call it as Krishna consciousness. It's one and the same thing. They are not two different things. We call it as Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means this, that awareness of the everything in this creation is Krishna. Is Krishna. So Sarva Bhudani Matstani Di Ubadharaya. Krishna is saying here, Sarvani Bhudani Matstani Idi Ubadharaya. That's how Krishna puts it. In other words, all living entities are taking birth in this awareness. They are maintained in that awareness. And eventually they disappear into that awareness. So when we take a body, when you get a new body, what happens? Suppose I got this body today, I am aware of so many things in this creation, is it not? Now suppose I leave this body and I got a cow's body or a dog's body. For me, awareness has changed then of the creation, isn't it? Awareness has changed. I won't be seeing. So in other words, this awareness decides what you are carrying with you. Awareness will decide that. According to your awareness, that is your creation. For example, we have five senses. Say, there are other living entities, for like amoeba and all that, the very small insects. they have one or two senses. They don't have all the five what we have, isn't it? So their world is different than our world. Their world is different. So for them, the world is different. For us, the world, based on the number of senses what we have and the power of the senses, it will change. So practically, Krishna's point is, yathākāśasthito nityam, that verse, if you get it, vāyu sarvatra go mahān, Krishna is saying, tathā, tathā sarvāni bhūtāni matsthāni iti ubhadhārayan. Krishna is saying, sarvāni bhūtāni, all living entities, is matsthāni. That matsthāni means in the self, in the soul. That's how you have to take it. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. It's difficult to explain that verse. Is it not? It's just like, first of all, giving the example of the five material elements, everything carried by the space. Krishna is saying, including that space is in my awareness. According to my awareness, the space will change. Is it not? So, to strictly say that our main mistake is that we think everything from a human body and start seeing that this is the perfection of everything. No, it's not. Yatha sarvani bhuta, tatha sarvani bhudani matsthani iti upadharayan. Krishna is saying there. That Krishna says, know that in the same manner all beings rest in me. What does that me means? Me means Atma, the soul. In the soul. Otherwise, you will be thinking that like Hercules holding the globe. Krishna is standing there and holding all the universes with the two hands like this. If you start thinking like that, you won't get anywhere. It will be very confusing to us, isn't it? Everything is spoken with the spirit soul as the background, Atma. And only in Atma, Atma means consciousness. In Avabhodam, awareness, all this existence or creation exists. Otherwise, creation doesn't exist. Creation exists based on your consciousness, how much you are aware. Not with what you see with the eyes. In your awareness, what you experience, that's creation. In awareness of. That's why you will see in the Bhagavatam in many places that different sages had different ways of seeing things. They are not seeing everything in the same way like we do. According to his own realizations. More realized soul, highly realized and highly advanced person, he will see a lot more things than what we don't see. That's why that fifth canto is very difficult for us to understand. Fifth canto, what we are seeing is what we see through our telescope and the microscope and all the scope, what we see through our eyes. That's the fifth canto for us. For Sugar Brahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami's fifth canto is completely different. What he is seeing is a lot more than what we are seeing. And we want to make that in our way. That won't work. That's not possible. That's not possible. Sugar Brahmarshi is saying to us, what I am seeing is this, Lavrata Varsham, Lord Shiva is there, Sri Parvati is there, he is seeing that. And then Hari Varsham, he is seeing Narasimha Murthy is worshipped by Prahlada. And another place he is saying Ramchandra is worshipped by Hanuman. And Lavrata Varsham, Kimburusha Varsham, so many places he is talking about, which we are not seeing now, are we? We are not seeing now, why? Does that mean they don't exist? No, it's not. It's not. This is the principle behind it. That according to that consciousness, awareness inside, if your awareness is very higher, you will see so many things what we don't see. Like you can see in the Bhagavatam in many instances, great, great personalities coming, glorifying Krishna and going back. When I look, you don't see anybody there. So, but Bhagavatam is saying, Vaidhaliya Uchu, Gandharva Uchu, Prajapati Uchu. So, Narasimhamurthy appeared, you can see there's about 10 different categories of people who have come to glorify Narasimhamurthy. Where are they? If you ask the question, where are they all? We don't know. Because we don't have that awareness in that level. Our awareness is very limited. Practically, our awareness is limited to this planet. Maximum whatever we see. And we are trying to struggling to find out little bit more than what we know from this world. Isn't it? Beyond that, we don't know anything else. So here, but Krishna is saying here, Tatha sarvani bhudani. When Krishna says sarvani means all living entities, including the sun, moon, everything. Not only we, 8.4 million, including the sun, moon, everything. Because they are also living entities like us. All the stars and all other living. Sarvani bhudani matsthani, they are all in me, Krishna is saying. Matsthani ubhadharaya. Krishna is speaking completely from the platform of the soul. Sun is also, as far as Krishna is concerned, is another living entity with another dress. Like we are all with different dresses. Sun is also another living entity. Moon is also another living entity. They give the example in the Vedam like this. The moon is shining because of the sun. The sun's light is giving life to the moon. Who gives the light to the sun? That's Krishna is saying that. Equally, that's the moon is getting from the sun is getting from me. That is the understanding that who is illuminating the power of the sun planet? Where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? It's coming from Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So, Tatha Sarvani Bhudani Matsani Idi Ubadharayan. He says like that. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 7. Sarvabhutani Kaundeya Prakritim Yandi Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadau Visrajamyaham Sarvabhutani Kaundeya Prakritim Yandi Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadau Visrajamyaham Sarva Bhudani Kaundeya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadau Visrajamyaham. O son of Kundi, at the end of millennium, every material manifestation enters into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I again create. This creation is very big. It's not the small creation, only us, Krishna is creating. That includes the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. Everything is covered in that. He says, Sarvabhudani Kaundeya Prakritim Yandi Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpado Visrajamyaham. Now, these verses are from the Sankhyam, Sankhya Shastram. From the Sankhyam, Krishna has taken these verses. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find sometimes Sankhyam, sometimes Yogam, sometimes Vedantam, sometimes Patanjali's Ashtanga Yogam, everything you will find there. So, Krishna says here, when a kalpam begins, everything comes out. In the beginning of a kalpam means the day of Lord Brahma. When that comes, everything comes out. Everything comes out. What was there before that, if you ask the question, we don't know. When a kalpam begins, everything comes out. But before what existed, nobody knows. So, nowadays scientists are saying so many things, isn't it? They tell us a lot of things. They also sitting there, they're getting paid, so it's okay. They can they keep them busy with something. You see, they got something to do. So, what's interesting here is that they're saying there was something there before, and then there was a big bang, they say. There was a big bang, a big explosion, and they say everything came out after that explosion. So then they thought that if there was a big bang happened like that, let's create that big bang in a small level. That's what they were trying to do in Switzerland. Yeah, God particle thing. Yeah, that's what they were trying to do there. They created a huge tunnel, and in that they were saying that if we can create that same big bang experience through their experiments, and billions of pounds have been pumped into that, and the economy is in recession. There is no recession there. Spending money like this, so much money is spent for this purpose, and they are saying we can create and find out from that experiment. They are thinking they may be able to find out how this whole creation has happened. Look at the brain behind it. Anyway, they are saying here that so they try to create a kind of a nuclear collision inside. But they are not thinking that if anything goes wrong, what will happen? That they are not concerned about it at all. So nobody is asking that question either. It hasn't happened, therefore it is good. They have not succeeded so far. But if anything happens, they are trying to create another big bang inside the tunnel. And the tunnel was not capable of handling that big bang. It could end up in another disaster. So, so therefore they spend all this money and they built this huge tunnel from they call it CERN, I think that's a place where they built it to the Italy border, Italian border. So, and long distance, a huge tunnel they have created to do this experiment. With they think everything is experiment for them, can't see anything more than that. And they have created the temperature also very much, they say very close to the temperature in the sun planet, such high temperature, in other words, they wanted to create. And they are doing so many things like that. What will happen also very difficult to say. What will happen? These are the kind of things going on in this world. So therefore, what Krishna is saying to us, try to escape from here as early as possible. If you try to hang on here, tomorrow you could be victimized by all these experiments, by the result then. So they're saying there, what was before this creation, there was only darkness. So in the Vedam, rishis are saying to us also the same thing. Rishis are saying to us that that nasa dasino vedam sadasino tadanila. There's a statement in the Rig Vedam. What it says is there that in before this creation happened, or this explosion or whatever that has happened, nasa dasino sadasino tadanim. In that state, awareness was not there. Awareness was not there. Mind was not there. Mind was not there. And the state of not having the mind was also not there. It was a kind of state which you cannot describe what it was at that time. In other words, now we are aware of something and we are not aware of something. Isn't it? Aware of something and not aware of something. Kutayam visrishtihi. So, at that time, if you ask the question where the creation has happened, ko ardha vedaha. Rishis are saying to us, in Rigvedam, this is the word, ko ardha vedaha. Who knows how this creation has happened? They have not tried to say anything about it. They didn't want to say anything about it. then they are asking the question. Vedam is asking the question. Does the creator know how he has created? We don't know, Vedam says. Vedam says like that. Does the creator know how he has created? We don't know. So far is that understanding from what we are trying to... We have... This is our false ego inside. We are trying to make it... Bring it under our capabilities. Capabilities of knowledge. That is not possible what Vedam is telling us this. Vedam is saying to us that the person who has created, whether he knows how he has created, we don't know. We don't know. So, Veda Utavana Veda. That's how it says. Rigveda says, Vedam Utavana Veda. He also does not know. So, therefore, why it is said like that? Therefore, it is called Maya. Therefore, it is called Maya. This is the definition of Maya. Maya's duty is creation, isn't it? Creation means Maya. Three modes of material nature. Prakriti, in other words. So one should not ask the question, why creation? Why is the need for creation? You should not ask that question. That is the answer from the Veda. From the Upanishad's point of view, you are not allowed to ask this question, why there is a creation. That may be a little bit difficult for, because first time when we come to spiritual life, that's the first question we ask, isn't it? From where all this has come? But Vedam is saying to us, don't ask that question. It has no meaning. They're asking that question. And they give the example like this. Because he says here, you may ask the question, where did all this come from? Then Vedam is asking the question, what's the benefit by knowing where it has come from? How will it solve your problem? So he says, so you can give many, many reasons where it has come from, but scientifically or not scientifically. And therefore, because it's like that, in the Puranam, there is in many places, there is this process of creation spoken. Process of creation spoken. The purpose of talking about creation is only one thing. Just like when the children ask question, you will give them some story, isn't it? To go to sleep. And child won't ask you, what you are telling the truth is all logical or not. He won't ask you. He just wants to sleep by hearing the story. So this creation, what is discussed in all Puranam, in Bible or Quran or wherever it is, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It is foolishness to fight in the name of creation. Oh, my Vedam tells me like this, your Vedam is saying something different. So yours is not bona fide, mine is bona fide. This is all bogus, completely wrong. You can see in the world people fighting like this, because Bible says we are created in 7 days' time in one way, it explains. Purana says in so many different ways, Quran says in another way. Now, each and everyone who has particularly taken a particular scripture, he will say, mine is correct, yours is wrong. And you will fight each other about it. Vedam says to us, none of them, you should not even ask that question. It has no meaning in asking that question. That is, but then why every scripture is talking about creation? Only one reason. Just like when you come to spiritual life, first question you will ask is, where all this has come from? So you need an answer, so therefore it has been spoken. That's all it is, nothing more than that. But otherwise, if you start asking, even Bhagavatam, if you take, Brahma is sitting on the lotus leaf, you will ask the next question, can the lotus leaf handle him? How is the weight he is taking it? It will be the next question, isn't it? Why lotus leaf? You can ask, why not rose flower instead of lotus? If you ask all these questions, finished, and there is no answer after that. No sage can answer you that question. Even Shankaracharya himself comes, he won't be able to answer that question. What will he do? So you have to think like this, that creation has been spoken in Shastram only one purpose. You want to know? Yes, here is the answer. You take it now for in this way and then carry on. But don't get stuck in that creation. After a while, when you start realizing spiritual life properly, you will know creation is not important and you will leave it behind. You won't inquire after creation. Now, whole third canto is about creation in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? And people are reading it and thinking about it and asking questions. Brahma has created two-legged one, four-legged one, then all the scorpions and the all sorts of living entities. And some of them are not even mentioned. Many of them are those which you have seen in the Oriental countries, not in the Arctic Circle. There are animals which are in the Arctic, they are not mentioned in that creation. Does that mean that Brahma didn't create, they created by somebody else then? So all questions you can ask like this, isn't it? So purpose of creation is not to answer, just to quench your curiosity. That's all. Some creation process is spoken, but they are not important in the as far as realization of the self is concerned. That's the most important thing to remember. It is equally true with other creation also, whether it's in the Bible or in the Quran or elsewhere. You can take it in the same way. It can't be anything. If you want to fight over it, then it's up to the person concerned. Sometimes you meet different people from different religious processes, so they will try to tell you that this is how it is mentioned in the Bible or this is how it's mentioned in the Quran. So how is it mentioned in your scripture? So we have to tell them, look, all of them have no meaning much as far as the creation is concerned, isn't it? So here you can see that just like stories for the children, that's all. This creation is just like stories for the children. Children, when they go to sleep, you tell them some nice stories and you can say anything you want at that time to him. He will believe it because he wants to sleep hearing something and he will go to sleep one way or the other. So, the Srishti or creation means not only about this planet, what you are seeing. What about all the other planets? You may ask the same question, is it not? So, from where this has come. And not only that, the world what we see is not the world everybody else is seeing also. Bacteria's world is different. Similarly, bacteria has got very few senses, one or two senses, so it will see another world. Similarly, the trees and plants, their world is different than us, our world, isn't it? They are also living entities. Their world is different. So, because we have got these five senses, we are having capacity to hear, to see, to touch, to smell, and to taste. Five things, isn't it? And some of them has got two senses, some of them have got three senses. And there are living entities which have got six senses beyond the five what we have got. So they may know things more than what we know about it. This is a world of senses, as we call the sensual world, in other words. So what we know is what we, within these five senses, what we know about creation. And keeping these five senses what we have got and keeping this one world, we are inquiring and wasting our time. This is how in a very unfortunate situation we are. You see how our intelligence is so poor. Keeping these five senses, And keeping this world what we see, we are inquiring. What exists beyond this, what we don't see, that we cannot think even about it, isn't it? So that itself shows that it is a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. So by doing this, you will never have any satisfaction or fulfillment. That is the Rishi's conclusion. Rishis are saying to us that this, you will never succeed in this process. First thing he says, you will leave this what you are seeing, go back to the person who is seeing. That is the answer to the problem. Answer to the problem is, instead of going after what you are seeing, go and find out who is seeing this, and then you will find the answer. When you see, start seeing that. So they are saying, we are not asking about the creation. Creation is not important. Ask the question, who is asking about the creation? That's where everything goes back. Vedantam is based on this principle. Vedantam is based on this principle. If you quietly analyze this, you can see it is the truth. It is the truth. That nothing in this creation matters. It all exists only because of I am existing. My presence is more important because it is in me everything is happening. Isn't it? Creation is happening in me. Because I am aware of the creation only because I am there. If I am not there, creation doesn't exist in a similar way. So that bodham, awareness or consciousness, that has to wake up. That consciousness has to wake up. Otherwise, there is no solution to the problem. Getting that consciousness waking up inside and realizing it is more important than studying the creation and knowing what's going on the creation. What is going on the creation? So Rishis, they have given importance to that. And if you are really looking for what Krishna has spoken in this verse, Ihaigade Jidasarga, remember 519. Ihaivader Jidasargo Yesham Samyestidam Manaha Nirdosham Hi Samam Brahma Tasmat Brahmani Destidaha. In order to come to that state, this is the process. You will not be able to come to that state if your mind is absorbed in the creation. If it comes out of the creation and goes back towards the person who is asking about the creation, that will take you to that state. Which makes sense, is it not? Then Krishna is saying, for creation makes us think that attention goes away from the person in whom creation is happening. When you realize the self, what happens? As soon as you realize the self, there is no such thing called creation. Creation is only there because you are experiencing it. But when you realize the self, and it is the same self which is present in the form of creation, there is no thing called creation at that point. Creation is over. This is what is Jidasargo means. Jidasargo means you are winning over the creation. How do you win over the creation? When you realize what you are, then you have won over the creation. What happens is, Krishna is saying that if you have given up this inquiry of what is seen by the creation, and when your attention has gone back to the person who is experiencing the creation, that means who is experiencing the creation, and you realize what who it is, who you are, and who that person who is experiencing it, immediately you realize it that this creation is not different from what is inside, who is experiencing the creation. At that point, the creation, the seeing the creation, and the person who is experiencing creation all becomes one. And the creation is over then. There is no more creation after that. That is the answer to the real creation question. It is only possible in the realized state. After that, there is no person who is separated from the creation. The person who is experiencing the creation, the creation process, and the created thing, they are all one and the same. Tripudi, they call it in the Vedantam, they call it as Tripudi. Tripudi means the three things. Jiva, Jagat, Ishwaran, as we say, in the same way, they are all one. They are not different. Earlier, in the beginning, it's all different. Therefore, we have the answer for that in the form of creation spoken in the Upanishads, or in the Puranam, in that way. So here, Sarva Bhudani Kaunteya, Krishna is saying, Sarva Bhudani Kaunteya, Prakritim Yanti, Mamikam, Kalpakshaye Punastani,
kalpado visrajamyaham, isn't it? Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham, he says here. So in other words, all these living entities, what you see in this creation, all of them eventually go and merge in the Prakriti. They go and merge in the Prakriti. And you don't have to, for this, you don't have to go till the end of Kalpam. You don't have to go to the end of Kalpam. For example, say, we are all going to sleep at 11 o'clock tonight. We're going to sleep at 10 o'clock tonight. That is what that Prakritim Yandi Mamigam. What happens at that time? Where have we gone then? All gone and finished, dissolved, isn't it? And then in the morning, back again. So even in the creation itself, you can see this Srishti and Pralayam, creation and devastation. Creation and devastation. So while in this awareness state where we are now, this is going on every day in us. Every night in the deep sleep state, you are dissolving yourself. And that's what Krishna is saying there. Sarva bhudani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. He says, isn't it? Sarva bhudani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. You have to break that verse into two. Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. That means at the end of kalpam, every kalpam, we all go back into the material nature and dissolve ourselves. And when the kalpam night is over, the next kalpam we come back again. That is one understanding. The first two lines is saying, Sarva bhudani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam. In the same prakriti, each one of us, every night, we go away from and dissolve ourselves. We move away from this prakriti, isn't it? We move away from our individual identity. We lose. All of us lose our individual identity in the night. And we go and dissolve somewhere. Somewhere we go and dissolve. And then in the morning, when you wake up, you come back again. Isn't it? Sarva bhudani kaundaya prakritim yandi mamigam. Krishna is saying. Exactly like kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. That's what he's saying here. At the end of millennium, every material manifestation enters into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I again create. This, Prakriti Mandi Mamigam. So that is why generally they call it as Samashti and Vyashti. Samashti means in a big level, big way. Vyashti means in a small way. In English also they have this word. They call it as microcosm and macrocosm. Yeah, micro and macro. That's what it is. That what we are is in the micro level. In a whole creation is concerned is macro level. Macro level. Isn't it? So Prakritim Yandi Mamigam. In Vedantam they call it another two words, Brahmandam and Pindandam. That's what they call it. Brahmandam and Pindandam. So everything what's happening in the Brahmandam, that is in the whole creation, that happening inside us, Pindandam. It is called. So if you notice this, what is happening inside us, each one of us, every night, then it is possible to understand that verse. That's what Krishna is saying. That in individual level, what happens to each one of us? In the night, we go and we disappear. We, when I say we, the ego. That's what we are at the moment, isn't it? Identification with the ego. And the ego goes and dissolves somewhere. We don't know where it's gone. It's gone and dissolved somewhere. And in the morning, that ego comes out. And then the mind comes, and then the body comes, and then the whole world comes. And in the night, when you go back to sleep again, first the body drops, and then the mind drops, and then the ego drops, and then you're gone. So every single night, the same experience, Krishna is saying, Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. At the end of every kalpam, all living entities together go. And then they all come back after a night. After a night. Another kalpam, one day,
one day of Brahma is Lord is considered to be a day of Brahma, one kalpam, and similarly one night also. So the interesting thing is, kalpakshaye punasthani kalpado visrajamiham, Krishna says, we never ask this question, how do we wake up in the morning? It's not a very amazing thing that we are all waking up in the morning. In the night, we are lost, isn't it? We are lost completely. And what is the guarantee that we will wake up in the morning? It's not spoken in a light way. What it is that, where have we gone in the night? And this little things makes us feel amazed by certain things. Just like we say that we ask this question, that when an apple fell, Newton asked a question, isn't it? Why did the apple fall? He asked that question. It's a simple thing compared to this thing. What's happening to each one of us in the night? Why do we wake up in the morning? Nobody asked that question, is it? Never we ask that question, why do we wake up in the morning? We have gone in the night to deep sleep, and sometimes we sleep very well in the Bhagavatam class also, in deep sleep we get. But then we wake up from the deep sleep. So how is that we are getting such a good sleep that we are able to come back to the Bhagavatam class again? So this question we have never asked. Therefore, everything outside what's happening in the world we are inquiring after. But what's happening within us, we never ask that question. This is the point Krishna is making here. So, therefore, Krishna says that we are asking about questions about everything what is in the world. How this happened, how that happened, how various things, isn't it? Scientists are always asking questions about what's on. But never asking scientists a question that you're going to sleep at night, why do you wake up in the morning? How come you're waking up in the morning? So what does this sleep mean? So you can see here, what is making us to wake up in the morning? What's making us to? And what is making us to go to that deep sleep? What's making us to go to deep sleep? This is the only question Vedantam is concerned about. Vedantam is not bothered about whether the apple is falling or pear is falling or something else is falling. That's not important for them. For them, important thing is, what makes you to go to sleep like that, to disappear from here, and what brings you back to this world again? So these two things are called Layam and Uthanam. Layam means going to this deep sleep state, and Uthanam means coming back from that that state where you are not aware of anything about the body, mind, intelligence or anything like that. When Layam comes, everything disappears, and when Uthanam comes, everything appears again. And that's what Krishna uses the word Visrajami Puna Puna. In other place you will see Visrajami. Visrajami means it projects everything. Projection. That is what the word Visrajami means. Everything is projected, or in other words, thrown out. Everything is thrown out. In other words, it's called Vikshepam. Vikshepam begins at that point. So, why? Because as soon as you wake up in the morning, first thing, ahankaram comes, isn't it? I am, I has come. After the I comes the mind, manas, I know. When the mind comes, everything has come with the mind, isn't it? So body has come then. Then the world has come, and in the world itself, this is good, this is bad, has started. All this has come after that. Whereas in the night, when the mind goes, both has gone. Good has gone, bad has also gone. In the night, when both is gone. And not only that, the body has gone in the night, and the world also has gone. Just like in the morning, everything has come back with the waking up. You got back your mind, and with the mind caused all the other things, the world. And then in the world, what you see, good things, bad things, and you started discriminating things and saying this is right thing, wrong thing, and all other identities, that's all come. In all those things, in the night when you go to sleep also, before, without even asking you, they all leave you and go one after the other. And finally, the body goes away, and then the mind also goes away, and then you are gone. and then you are gone. Good thing, bad thing, nothing. So that thing, Krishna is saying, which is causing for the mind to wake up in the morning and to disappear in the night, who is causing that? That's the point here. Who is causing that? Similarly, there is some force inside which generally we address in the Vedantama as Chit Shakti. From the Chit Shakti, the mind has come about. In a similar way, Krishna says that for this whole creation, imagine that there is a mind behind it working. From that mind, this creation is coming and it's going back also. And that mind of this whole creation is what Krishna calls here as Maya. Maya means that. That the mind behind this creation, it is happening in us also on an individual level, isn't it? When we wake up in the morning, for example, in the morning when we wake up, my mind will be different from your mind or somebody else's mind, isn't it? In my mind, all the thoughts that's coming through, all the world what I'm experiencing, all my activities for the day, everything will be working in a particular way. In somebody else's mind, it'll be working in a different way. So the very creation, what you are experiencing in each one of us, will be different in the morning. So similarly, in the night when it disappears also, in each one of us, mind will disappear in a different way. Isn't it? Even when, finally, when we say goodbye to the mind, when we go to deep sleep state, the way the mind dissolves in each one of us is not the same way. The things what I thought important, it will remain on a longer period of time. What I didn't think important will leave me first. Similarly, for other people, other things may be important according to their own mental thought waves inside, isn't it? So, so here, what they say is that so that Maya outside, what creates this world, is what the mind inside us, what it does. What Maya does in the creation, that same function is what the mind does inside us. In other words, in Samashti, it is Maya. In Vyashti, it is mind. You can see both of these two things. Maya, difficult to understand. Mind, difficult to understand. What Maya does in the creation, mind does inside us. This is why in spiritual life, you can't trust neither Maya nor the mind. Both of them, you have to move away from that. If you take shelter of any of these two, you won't make the knowledge won't develop inside. Knowledge won't come inside. So, it won't allow that to happen. Maya won't allow to absorb in spiritual life. Mind also won't allow to absorb in spiritual life. Because in reality, Samashti and Vyashti, these are duality. It doesn't exist. Samashti, this is only to understand, to make it easier, it's spoken in this way. Samashti and Vyashti. In reality, there is no two things. It's no two things. So, in other words, in self-realization, as soon as you have realized the self, world doesn't exist. As soon as you realize the self, world doesn't exist. Once a question was asked about this, that you know, we discussed about this Karna Nadi, remember? That so you may think that there is a Nadi which flows from the ears to the heart, which is normally blocked, and by hearing about the Shastram, it has to open up eventually, and the message should go directly to the heart without, instead of going to the mind. Normally it is in a blocked state in everybody. We have discussed that before, isn't it? So question came up that this Nadi, Karna Nadi, Amrita Nadi, in different names it's called, it is an imaginary thing. It's not something you can see by experiment or research work. It's there, it's an imaginary thing. So that question came up whether it will open up or not. How does it open up? The answer, a realized person, how he will answer that is, he will say, now this answer, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam and all, this Nadi and all that, is in the unrealized state, when you are not realized the truth. When you are realized, body itself is not real. What to talk about the nadi? The body itself is not a real thing. This is the principle, because rishis are telling us, or what Krishna is telling us, nasado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha ubhayoravi drishtvandam sanayor tattva darshibi. As far as Krishna is concerned, satta is always exist. Body is changing, therefore it is asat, it has no existence. In other words, as far as Krishna is concerned, this body has no existence, it has no meaning. For us at the moment, body means something. We identify with the body, isn't it? So therefore it means something. But reality is, this Karnanadi and everything, with Amrtanadi, whatever we talk about, it is there in the third canto, you can see Uddhava talking about that to Maitreya Maharshi. Is the Nadi exist? Yes, it exists. But in what extent? It is not a reality, in the sense, like the body is not a reality. When the body itself is not a reality, this also is not a reality. But till self-realization happens, everything exists. Body exists, mind exists, intelligence exists, ego exists, and the Nadi also exists. That's the way you have to see that. So that mind, this is the most important. Mind is the most important thing, isn't it? What does this mind mean? Very difficult to know what that mind is, where it is. Something that puts us to sleep in the night. Puts us to sleep in the night. And something creates a dream inside. We have no way explaining these things. What puts us to sleep? How can you explain that? We are talking about in a healthy person, not the one who is taking all the sleeping pills and all kinds of tranquilizers and everything. He's not in a normal state. It's in an abnormal state. You are artificially pushing him. But in an average normal person, he goes to sleep. What puts him to sleep? We may say that the body is tired, but more than the body, it's the mind that prepares him for the sleep. If the mind closed down, it shows closed down. Body doesn't have to, if the mind closes it down. So the mind is glowing away, and what does the mind do? Then he can take you to another world of the dream. Isn't it? Who does that? The mind does that. The mind does that. And it allows us that to have that dream in the night. And it is that same mind in the morning that wakes up. Also, it's done by the same mind itself. So, and what else it does? When you are sitting peacefully at home, it frightens you. Isn't it? It does. Do you know that? It frightens you, the mind. Just I was listening the other day, I was saying to Vishnu also, that... you know, this disaster happened in New York when that cyclone Sandy happened. So BBC was interviewing a taxi driver, and that taxi driver was saying that, well, what has happened here, he said, it's not so big, he said, because we were expecting a lot more than this, but it wasn't that bad, he said, the end. And we'll be back again, with everything will come back, he says. But more interesting thing what he said was, this is the main problem now what we have. He said, we are loads of people here, thousands of people, we don't know what to do now. Because there's no power supply, so we can't watch the television. All the pubs are closed, we can't go anywhere. You can't do anything, because there's no electricity. And so everybody's so bored, he says. They're so bored, he says. And because everybody's fearful of their own mind. It's a mind that makes the whole thing very difficult, isn't it? The moment you think that I have nothing to do, then starts the trouble inside. Immediately you are in trouble. Then you don't know what you have to do, the next thing. You will see this all the time in people's life, isn't it? So that's what the problem with this mind. So our greatest problem is this mind inside. What he will dictate you next moment, you don't know. You don't know what he will make that decision. So therefore what he does, in the daytime if you decide to stay at home quietly, he frightens you. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavatam. He says there that he will frighten you every minute. That's what he says, the body does the same thing to you. Then he brings all the tension, stress, everything, and also all kinds of thoughts come at that time. And it is an amazing power of that mind, isn't it, which creates this feeling. some subtle force that is operating that way. So, so Krishna says that that mind which is creating that stress or tension or fear in anyone's mind, it is the same force that creates that mind in a person. It is based on that same force creation is happening. This is Krishna's point. The mind that comes in everyone and frightens us and creates tension and stress in us and makes always us in a disturbed state, where does that mind coming from? That source, it is from the same source which creates this whole everything, what you see as well. So, and that is that power called Maya. Maya and the mind, they are together. They are together. Maya and Maya. Look at the next verse. 8. Verse 8. Verse 8. Prakritim swamavasthabhyam visrajami punapunaham bhudagramamimam krishnam avasham prakritervashad prakritim swamavasthabhyam visrajami punapunaham bhudagramamimam krishnam avasham prakritervashad prakritim swam avasthabhyam visrajami punapunaha bhudagramam imam krishnam avasham prakritervashad. The whole cosmic order is under me. By my will it is manifested again and again, and by my will it is annihilated at the end. It is annihilated at the end. So, prakritim swam avasthabhyam visrajami punapuna bhudagramam imam krishnam avasham prakritir vashad. So, Krishna is saying prakriti. Prakriti means maya. Prakriti means maya. Keeping that prakriti, Krishna says, creation happens with the help of prakriti. Puna punaha visrajami bhudagramam. Again and again, Surya, Chandramasau, Yadha, Dadha, Yadha, Purvamakalpamidam, Purvakalpamidam. So here is a very important point. The sun and the moon, what we see, how long is their life? If you ask the question, that the main thing is that if you ask in the previous kalpam, did they exist? They did. They did. So, and they have come back again. It's just like a circle, keeps coming. Kalpam after kalpam, it comes back. Purva kalpam means the previous kalpam. So everything what you see in the creation, all of that were there in the previous kalpam also. In the previous kalpam also, they existed. In other words, there is nothing newly happening. Everything what has happened in the past, it gets repeated again and again. It gets repeated again and again. Purva kalpam and in the next kalpam. It happens, repeats the same thing. So it is possible that what Krishna's statement is saying, that everything what you are seeing today, they all existed in the previous kalpam also. They all existed in the previous kalpam also. The thing is that if you ask, everything means what? Everything means everything, whatever form you see today, it had its existence in the another kalpam as well. Nothing new has happened. We are now discussing Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam. it is possible that the same discussion has happened before in another kalpam. In another kalpam, it may sound very difficult to perceive that, because we are thinking we are living only here for 50-60 years, isn't it? And then we are gone from here. Actually, that's not the end. Kalpa means in a sequence things happen, in an order. Everything happens. So that order has happened in such a way, Krishna is saying, Visrajami Puna Puna. It's being projected again and again and again. Same thing. For example, any institution, for example, Ishkon. And Ishkon is today there. But Ishkon must have existed in the previous kalpam also. We are going referring back to, we don't have such a long history, do we? But a similar situation must have happened in the previous kalpam also. Because if you look at the word Krishna is used there, you will see Visrajami Puna Puna. He says Visrajami. Pragradim Swam Avastabhyam Visrajami Puna Puna. Visrajami means it's being projected again and again. The same thing is projected again and again. So, the same topic, it's like a circle. It's the same thing is rotating, coming back again and again. That is why Bhudagrama Mimam Krishnam, Krishna says, Bhudagrama Mimam Krishnam Avasham Pragradir Vashad. Avasham Pragradir Vashad. Because all these things are in the hands of Prakriti. Are in the hands of Prakriti. What Krishna is saying here, all these things what you are seeing is like a film which is already shot. The film is already shot. And if you show a film again and again in another screen, in a screen, that's what this world is. Krishna is saying that. Bhudagrama Mimam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashad. Upanishad explains that. That it's not that creation changes. No, it doesn't change. Whatever has happened, it keeps gets repeated again and again, kalpam after kalpam. In one kalpam, what has happened, the same thing happens in the next kalpam also. And again in the next kalpam. It goes on and on and on, one after the other. So Krishna's point is, if I am showing the same film again and again, why get worried about it? we think every time when a film this is the first time this has happened to me, we say, no, this is not the first time it has happened. It has happened many times before also, and it's going to happen many times in the future as well. It's not a new thing. The film is already shot. You can't do anything about it. It'll keep on repeating the same thing. Then what do you have to do? Stay quiet. That's all. You don't have to do anything about it. So let it happen, whatever has to happen. And I only thing is to take your attention from what is going on. It's not going to help very much. Trying to see, this is where that is what that verse is indicating to us. Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. Krishna is saying, no matter what you think about this creation, what's happening here, this will continue to happen again and again and again. If you put all your attention into that, you will be lost in that. Rather, if you take your attention away from this creation and go towards the soul, you can escape from this. That's the escape route. Escape route is self-realization. If you realize the self, then this creation won't disturb you. At the moment, creation is disturbing us, isn't it? We see, we are completely, every creation, everything is new now, and we are, whether through science or technology or whichever means, we are trying to find where this is all come from. How had this happened? How that happened? So many questions. Krishna says, don't probe in that way. There's no point in going in that direction. He says, you will not get anywhere with that. On the other hand, Krishna's point is that already the film is shot. It will happen in that way only. It's already decided and it's happening kalpam after kalpam in the same way it's manifesting again and again. What he uses the word is Bhudagramam Ivam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashad. He says, Prakriti, Maya, she is running this like a film which is already shot and she is showing on the screen. And you are simply watching that and getting worried about it. That will continue to go in the same way. Kalpam after kalpam, it will work like that. But what Krishna says, Visrajami Puna Puna. He says, Prakritim Swam Avastabhya Visrajami Puna Puna. It is like, Visrajami means it's projected. Through this projector, it is projected onto the world is a projected thing of Maya. Maya is projected this world into the soul. So the soul is experiencing this Maya. in this film, what we are experiencing now. It's like a film, it is, this creation. And that is continuously happening, and if you all your attention falls into the film, you won't see the screen behind. So seeing the screen is more important than watching the movie, what is going on here. That's why, no attention, Shraddha, should fall onto the screen and not onto the movie that is going on here. So, at the moment what it is that our Shraddha is, oh, where is all our properties, where is all our bank account and house and family and this and that. So, so that one has to understand, Krishna is saying here, that wherever actually our real property is somewhere else, not in this world. That's not in this world. So, if your property is not in this world, that is, whoever is showing this movie, it is his property. Who is running the movie, isn't it? It is his property. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, our property is within ourselves. That's what the self. That is our property. Actually, our property is the self, the soul inside. That is our property. Self-realization means getting back your property, what it is, real property. Because other things is actually Maya's property, it is. That's why we have to hand it over back, isn't it, when we go. Hand it over back to Maya. She will take it back whether you like it or not. So, Krishna is saying, this verse is telling us how important realizing the self is. Only through realizing the self, you will get back to your real property, what you are actually inside. That's your property, the self inside. That's your property. That you can never lose it. You can never lose it. So, that property inside is called Atma. It's called Atma. And that Atma, in every way, is manifesting us in every day in the form of awareness. In the form of awareness. And it is shining there. And that is our indication. That is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam. That is our real property, which you won't lose it at any time. In other words, aham aham, aham asmi, aham asmi. And that is aparoksham also. And reaching there. In order to get there, first thing Krishna is saying is that the false ego must go. The false ego, ahangaram, has to go from inside. So, in order that ahangaram has to go, first thing is the karta and bhokta. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, has to go. And what is the way to get rid of that? And once we know that this is that movie, what's going on by Maya, and Maya is projecting this creation in this way in front of us, and everything is working under her direction, or Krishna's direction, in other words. And knowing very well that Krishna is controlling everything, Krishna is managing everything, knowing that, and to simply become an instrument. That's the only way you can. That is why Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Ishwara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yandra rudhani maya. So, in that way, if kartrutva bhoktrutvam goes away, then this ahangaram will go away from inside. Once the ahangaram or false ego goes away from inside, Krishna is saying here that it is possible to stay in your state of self-realization. Otherwise, it is not possible. All these things is only to say, one important point is that everything is in the hands of the material nature. Everything is in the hands of the material nature. Because you can see, the body was born, body was created by the material nature. Body is growing under the control of the material nature. And body gets destroyed also under the control of material nature. Is it not? Under the control of material nature. When the time is ready to go, something will come and will take the body away. We say that some diseases come and we died. Actually, that's not true. The truth is, it was time to go, so the diseases come to take us away from here. And like we say, cancer came, and because of cancer somebody died, we say, or because of another disease, whatever it may be, But that is not true. The time has come to go, so the cancer has come at that time. That's how we have to accept that. That is Krishna's statement it is. That's why Krishna is saying in that verse, Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. Then, Prakritim swam avastabhya visrajami puna puna. Kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. Bhudagrama imam krishnam avasha prakritir vashad. Avasha prakritir vashad means that Prakriti has complete control. We have no control on it. If you accept this simple principle, you can escape from a lot of misery from this world. Avasha prakritir vashad. Every one of us is completely under the clutches of material nature. We haven't got any freedom. That is the truth. That when Prakriti decides to take us out from here, she will take us out, and whatever need to be done, she will do it at that time. At that time. And to think that I will have my decision when to leave, that's not possible. That's not possible. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, therefore, he says here, so sometimes not only the appearance of the body, the maintenance, growth of the body, the destruction of the body, and many things what this body does, even there we don't have much of a freedom. We don't have a much of a freedom, because sometimes we say, you can't say that the body is only doing bad things. Sometimes the body does good things also in this world, isn't it? So in all situations, whether good or bad, in all situations, we have to come to this understanding that Prakriti is doing this. Prakriti is doing this. It's happening through this body. Only if that understanding comes, that you will escape from this kartrutva bhoktrutva. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. It will go away. Otherwise it won't. It will stay there in a person. So what is Krishna consciousness means? Krishna consciousness means that handing over the body, the mind, the intelligence and our swabhavam, nature, to Krishna. And that is Bhagavata Dharma. In other words, what is called as Krishna consciousness. What is called as Krishna consciousness? Quite often, there is always a discussion going on in internet. Those who don't look at the internet, doesn't matter. But those who look at the internet, you will see how different mind works. Different mind works. We have what is a system which comes through Vaidya method, process. Vaidya process. Which is based on Varnashrama Dharma, isn't it? Varnam, Ashrama Dharma and all. Varnadharma, Ashrama Dharma. Then there is also this thing called Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma. Many people are having a little difficulty with these two. What should we follow? Should we follow is this correct or Bhagavata Dharma is correct? Sometimes some people are saying, no, we should have Varnashrama Dharma everywhere. So some people are rushing for that, to bring Varnashrama Dharma back. And then in some places, Prabhupada said that all these are based on the body, we don't have to worry about it. Body is not important, because Varnashrama Dharma is based on the body, isn't it? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, it's all based on the body. So, should we give importance to Varnashrama Dharma or should we give importance to Bhagavata Dharma? This is the big question now. It's a big discussion going on the internet. You can read it if you want. One sannyasi wants to bring back Varnashrama Dharma. Another sannyasi says that's all useless waste of time and goes in another direction. And also, nobody knows what is to be done. This is the situation now. So, these things become important when you are concerned about this world, isn't it? When you are concerned about this world more than what is necessary. If you are concerned about your own spiritual advancement and self-realization, they are not important. In fact, Krishna consciousness, from Prabhupada's point of view, Prabhupada gave more importance to realizing the truth in this life rather than trying to get absorbed in all the other perennial things. They are not. So I was listening to some of the questions. Discussion was going on in it was not in Mumbai. I think it was in Baroda or Ahmedabad. So they were asking this question. They are all young boys working in the city, in the information technology work they are doing. So they are asking this sannyasi, how do we bring this Varnashwadharmam into Ahmedabad, to the city now? This was the question. Because naturally they are confused. If you tell them that we need this Varnam and Ashramam, keep on telling people, everybody, that we... Okay, Prabhupada gave some directions that you start the farm communities and live there. Idea was more not interested in creating Varnashram, rather than idea was to make a way of life simple as possible so that you have time for self-realization. That was the purpose behind it. It was not that we want to put everybody in a box and say you are a Brahmana, you are a Kshatriya. What do you gain to get from that at the end? So Bhagavata Dharmam becomes more relevant at this time, not the Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma, it is practically impossible to bring it back now, because the whole world is going in that direction. And there are so many devotees busy with this Varnashrama Dharma now. I don't know where it's going to end up. We're wasting time trying to do all that. You go and tell people in big cities like Mumbai or Kolkata and tell them, look, we have to follow Varnashrama Dharma from tomorrow onwards and try to introduce that. It's not going to work. It's simply not going to work. We have got only a small amount of time in our custody at the moment. And with this time, we have to make the maximum benefit from that. And therefore, Bhagavata Dharmam is most significant in that way. What Krishna is saying to us, that simply surrender everything and escape from here. That is the easiest process when you think about that. Surrendering everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego, and including, that is that verse in the Bhagavatam, you will see, kayena vaja manase indriyairva buddhyalpana va prakrite swabhaval karodi yadyal sagalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami. That me is important. Me is the same in Sanskrit and English also. It's the same me there. The me must go. Me, if the me goes, you have escaped from the problem. Karodi yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpaya me. The me has to be given to Krishna. If me goes, it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. Me is the problem. So, so that is why the Navayogis, when they spoke about that, they said that very clearly, that whatever you are doing with the mind, doing the body, intelligence, ego, if everything is offered to Krishna, then you can escape from the reaction. But to start thinking that I have to become a Brahmana first before I have to become a devotee and all that, if you start bringing it in, then you are going to end up in serious... There's no time for all that, to do all that in this world. And if you try to bring that back again into this world, it is a lot of a work. I don't know whether it is ever possible to do that now in present state. So, so here, if the me goes, that me, samarpayami, that me goes, then yadyad bhavadi yadyad karodi narayana, that everything is offered to Narayana, everything Krishna is doing, I have not done anything. That's all, that understanding. It is not simply talking with the intelligence and the mind. That's not what is important. It has to wake up inside, in the heart, in the person. And it's a very subtle thing, extremely subtle thing. Everybody talks with intelligence, so we all say like that, isn't it? Krishna is doing everything, everything is happening because Krishna is done like this, but Krishna is doing. But a person who is organizing a big festival, he's organizing a big festival, he's saying, somebody asked him, how are things going on? He says here, if everything is going on very well, he says, you'll say, oh, Krishna is doing everything very nicely. After all, we don't do anything, Krishna is doing everything. We say like that, isn't it? You tell him that nothing is happening properly, everything has gone wrong. You tell him like that. So at that time, he won't take the same attitude. He won't say Krishna is doing everything. He immediately wake up. He'll start getting upset about it. He'll say, he will get angry also. And so that way speaking is just lie with the mouth, saying like that, in that way. So whatever happened, whatever Krishna has done in this world and whatever is happening, always, if everything becomes a flop in life and whatever distress comes in life, still to take that it is Krishna's arrangement, that is that Bhagavata Dharma. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Whatever happens in life, doesn't matter what it is, under all circumstances, Krishna is doing everything And whatever he has done, it's Krishna who is responsible also. In that way, able to come to terms with things, that's Bhagavad Dharma. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Wherever Krishna puts us, to be situated in that state. And that's why in Vaishnava Dharmam, there is these two things, isn't it? The cat and the monkey. Cat and the monkey, you may have heard about that. Markadanyayam and Marjaranyayam. Markada is the monkey and Marjaram is the cat. Marjaram is the cat. So the cat by nature, the kitten won't make any noise. Wherever the kitten is carried by the mother, cat carries the kitten, and wherever she puts the baby will stay there. Baby knows that mother will bring the milk and feed me. The baby knows very well. That is the Marjaranyayam. Markadanyayam is the baby monkey holds on to the mother all the time. All the time holds on to the mother. Whereas the cat's case and the monkey's case, that's a difference. In the cat's case, the baby doesn't do anything. Everything the mother does. Mother leaves the baby somewhere and mother makes sure that the baby gets the milk. At the right time, she comes and feeds the baby. Whereas in the monkey's case, the baby has to hold on to the mother. Hold on to the mother. All the time holding on to the mother. Ramanujacharyas, in the Vaishnava tradition, these two has created two different divisions. Vatagala and Tengala, they call, they came from these two. These two, Varjaranyaya and Markaranyaya. And like you can see here, the kitten doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything. What does the mother say? Meow, meow. In Hindi also it's the same thing, say meow. So meow, the kitten is making that sound and she is coming. She knows that mother is coming to feed. Mother will come and feed me and look after me. So out of this thing, the kitten's position is safer. If you take that position, it is safer. In other words, if you hold on to Krishna, if you leave, you are in trouble. But if you hand over yourself to Krishna, and if Krishna takes responsibility, then you are free. So the safer one is the cat's position. Yeah, the cat's position is the safer one, not the monkey's position. Monkey's position or the it's not the safer one. So, so there in the monkey's case, you are holding on to Krishna all the time, to possess Krishna all the time, isn't it? So sometimes he says, it's my Krishna. My Krishna has helped me. My Krishna has done this. My Krishna has done that. That is better than that is to say, I am Krishna's. That is a better, safer situation. That attitude, if you cultivate that, then it is Krishna's responsibility. If you hand over yourself to Krishna, it is Krishna's responsibility after that. There is a story about that in the Ramayanam. Ramchandra and Lakshmana, after Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, they were living in the forest in Kishkindha. At that time, Hanuman comes to see. Sugriva sent Hanuman to go and find out who these two personalities are, Ramchandra and Lakshmana. So Hanuman came to see Ramchandra and Lakshmana and spoke to them about Sugriva's situation. And Sugriva wants to help you, he said to Ramchandra and Lakshmana. Who said this? Hanuman said. And so Lakshmana got up and asked him, so why don't you ask him to come here? You can talk to him then. But then Hanuman says to him that he can't leave that place, Rishyamukachalam, where he was camping. Bali, his brother, cannot go there. If he comes out, Bali comes to know that he has come out of Rishyamukachalam, Bali will kill him. Because you know the problem between Bali and Sugriva, this is in the Ramayana. So, at that time, Hanuman says to Ramchandra and Lakshmana, especially Lakshmana asked this question, that why shouldn't you ask him to come here? Why should we go to him? Lakshmana got upset when Hanuman said to them that you should come and see Sugriva. Hanuman put it to them in a very nice way, that come and see Sugriva, we will discuss this kidnapping of Sita Devi and how to get her back. So Lakshmana said, thought, he's a prince, isn't he? Lakshmana says to him that he should come here and talk to us and we will make some arrangement. So Hanuman told Lakshmana at that time, it's not possible for Sugriva to come out of Krishnamukachalam. Outside he cannot go. If he comes out, he'll be in trouble, serious trouble. So Lakshmana and Ramachandra agreed eventually to go there to see Sugriva. So when he decided to go to Sugriva, so if he comes out from there, he'll be beaten by Bali. Bali will give him a good kick. So he knows about that. So if you don't go to him, he won't come here otherwise, said our Hanuman. You have to go to him, he won't come to you otherwise. So what it shows, that what is that story in the Ramayanam showing to us? There's a principle behind it. Otherwise, this is not the story, is not the important thing. Important thing is, Jiva is like Sugriva. It cannot do anything on its own. It will say many things, big things it will talk, but it can't do anything practically. Even if it tries to do something, what it does is normally, it will go and jump into another karma. And get beaten there. Every karma beats you at the end, isn't it? Karma means getting beaten again and again. That's karma. Ultimately, that's what karma does. Karma, you keep on doing karma, karma beats you. Beats gross level and in the subtle level. Gross level, in karma so many things can happen. But in a subtle level, it creates vasanas inside and then it binds you in many ways. So what it is karma is a vina. It is a disaster at the end. So so therefore, nothing can be done. But only if Krishna shows the mercy and comes down and take us out, it is possible to escape from this situation. So that's what that story is all about. That Sugriva on his own, if he wants to do it, he cannot do it because he knows the problem is there. Similarly, in our case also, on our own, it is very little we can do about it, the situation. Rather, by surrendering to Krishna, it is possible that something may happen by Krishna's grace or Krishna's mercy. Only if Krishna shows some mercy, something will happen. On your own, you can't do anything. So this understanding that on your own you can't do anything about it, but you have to show the mercy, that is what that Hanuman's discussion with the Ramchandra and Lakshmana there. So then the question comes, how do we go from here? How do we go there? So Hanuman says to them that both of you sit on my shoulders, Ramchandra on one shoulder and Lakshmana on the other shoulder. So in the Ramayanam, that question comes there, why don't you keep Rama and Lakshmana on either side, on the hip, and hold with the hand on either side, like the mothers do with the babies, isn't it? So at that time, Valmiki himself says about this, that Hanuman's answer to that, Hanuman says, if I put them on the shoulder, then it's their responsibility to show me the way, and I have to follow that. Whichever way they show me the route. In other words, this is all has got some spiritual purport behind it. In other words, that in spiritual life, if you receive Krishna's grace and Krishna drives you in spiritual life, not your drive. Not that what you do is important in spiritual life. What Krishna takes you, that is more important in spiritual life. So Hanuman replies there, if I keep Ramchandra and Lakshmana on either hip, then that is responsibility of Kausalya and Dasharatha, not me. They can do that because they are the parents, Ramchandra and Lakshmana. They can carry like that. I don't have to do that. I rather prefer this way. Let them sit on my shoulders and let them tell me to whichever way I want to go, I'll go in that direction. They are saying, Hanuman says this to Ramchandra and Lakshmana in that way. Indirectly, Vaidavyasa Maharshi says about this is, that in spiritual life, all responsibility is in Krishna's hands. Krishna arranges our spiritual life. It's not that what we plan, what we do will happen. It won't happen. And it won't make any sense also. It's Krishna who is driving everything reside inside as the Antaryami. He controls our spiritual life also. Therefore, that responsibility, Hanuman says, is I have to leave that to Krishna. When Krishna becomes the driver, it is a safer thing. Like in the Bhagavad Gita also, Arjuna hands over the chariot. So, so out of the two things, we looking after Krishna and Krishna looking after us, therefore responsibility in Krishna's shoulder is better. So instantaneously, then you become free. Instantaneously you become free. So it is not, Krishna says, not very difficult to hand over the responsibility. Only thing is, you are just accepting the fact that Krishna is running the life. Krishna is running the show. That's all it is. Nothing else to be done. And aware of that tattvam, and Prakriti is doing everything. Prakriti means material nature, and Krishna is doing everything. I have not done anything. And in these transactions, what you have given and what you have taken is not important. But what is important is, I have not done anything and I am not affected by anything. That's more important. I have not done anything and I have not been affected by anything. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam, if it's not there, that's more important. Not what you have done in the in your activities. So, so once this situation comes, Krishna is saying that is perfection. So kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, these four things is material existence. And these four things comes from ahankaram, false ego. False ego, if you ask somebody what is false ego means these four things. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and attachment and aversion. These four things combined together is called false ego. It's called false ego. And when these four things have gone from inside, false ego has completely disappeared from a person. So, so that is why all the Mahatmas will say like this, that whatever spiritually one who wakes up, he is willing to accept everything what's happening in this, in his life. He is not too concerned about whatever happened. Anything, whatever happens is Krishna's decision to leave it everything to Krishna's hands. That strength. So, this is many Mahatmas, they have spoken the same thing in different languages. Different languages they have spoken, that's all. I can give you the examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Ashishtashtagam, if you look at the last verse, what does he say? Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karodhuva yathatathava vidadhatu lembado mat prana nathasana evanapara. What does it mean? Whether you embrace me, whether you kick me, it doesn't matter. It's all the same to me. That is that state. This is what we are discussing. Ashlishiva means to embrace. Or if you, what do you say?
Trample
me. Yes. Ashlishiva padaradam pinishtumam. If you appear in front of me, don't appear in front of me. Adarshanam. If you don't appear in front of me. Marma karodhuva. And whatever you do to me, it doesn't bother me. That is that state, what we are talking about. Ramakrishna used to say the same thing in a different way. He used to say, Krishna is the operator, I am the machine. That was his way. Ravana Maharshi says, Unnishtam Ennishtam. He says, whatever you do, that's fine with me. I have nothing to complain. So all these great, great personalities in spiritual life, you look at them, they all have this only one thing to say to us, that hand over everything to Krishna. Till that happens, nothing is going to happen otherwise. It will go on like this. You may do any amount of sadhana. All of them, whether it is in the Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Yoga Margam, doesn't matter. In all the processes, finally, this is where it ends up. It ends up in this situation. Till that handover doesn't happen, it cannot go an inch further. Cannot go inch further. So, even in spite of all difficulties in their life, whatever, they all went through very, very, very difficult times in their spiritual life. And finally, so much distress had come to them. Distress in the sense that their distress was that when they had to leave the body had created a lot of difficulties for them. Nobody leaves this world in a very happy state. Very rarely you will find one person escaping here or there. But majority has to go through a lot of miseries before they leave this body, isn't it? So when that comes, at that time you can see all our strength, everything goes away immediately. So that's why whatever you may do, yadyad bhavyan bhavadu bhagavat susva karmanum evam. It is at that time all this understanding has to come to our shelter. Whatever may be happen, body is not mine. Body is not mine. Body is not mine. This mind is not mine. Mind is not mine. Everything is yours. So in order to know this, only to get this point across to us, it is creation is discussed. The purpose of discussing creation is to get this point to us, that body is not ours. Mind is not ours. Mind is not ours. Instead of that, to describe to us or give a big description about this creation, it's of no use to us. Discussing about this creation, it's of no use to us. So those things, creation is happening in the prakriti. Creation is happening in the prakriti. Prakriti means what? Prakriti means Krishna's potency, isn't it? Maya. Krishna's potency, Maya. Maya is doing everything, and it is in the Maya side that everything is happening. It is not ours, including this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. In order to show that, that is the main point. therefore, question is, why you worry about the creation? Why you worry about the creation? So, in about the creation, or even about the activities of this world, why get involved, absorbed, worry about it too much? Many people, they are so concerned about the creation and so concerned about all the problems of this world that, and they may have so many desires also. We have to do this, we have to do that. But does not the person who is doing all these things, does he not know what is to be done? Does he not know that? So why do we have to get involved in this? This is the question. This is the question. So Krishna's point is, in the Bhagavad Gita, while discussing these verses, understand where all this creation has come, what's your connection with the creation, and how far you should get involved in all these things. While realizing the self, you will know that the creation itself is not a reality, because it is something happening under the guidance of Maya. Maya is running this creation, and so long as we don't identify with the creation, you will not get under the influence of Maya. So that is why he is saying here, Prakritim Swam Avastabhya Visrajami Puna Puna Budagramam Imam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashad. In this chapter, what you will understand is this, that in order to get this Rajavidya, the king of knowledge, which is most confidential Rajaguhyam, Krishna is saying Shraddha must develop in a person. While Shraddha develops in a person, what will happen to him is he will know that he has nothing to do with this world. First thing, he has nothing to do with this world. If he gets absorbed in the world, it's very difficult for that Shraddha to build up inside. Build up inside. So taking the attention away from the world, that is why Krishna is talking about all this creation to us. This few verses, what he has talked about, is only with this idea behind it. The motive is, how will you know that? The next few verses will show you that. That the purpose of these verses was only to take our attention away from the world and go towards the Krishna's presence inside. Because Bhagavad Gita has only one thing to tell us: realize the self. If you have realized the self, all problems are solved once for all. Simply going on researching in the world endlessly is not the answer. Krishna's answer to Arjuna and to Uddhava: realize the self, all other problem is solved. There is no creation after that, there is no dissolution after that, and nothing else exists outside the self. Outside the self. So we'll discuss it after a few minutes. So here in these verses, what we have now seen, Krishna spoken about these verses 7 and 8. Sarva bhudani kaunteya prakritim yandi mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. That is the 7th verse. And the 8th one, prakritim swam avasthabhyam visrajami puna puna bhudagrama mimam krishnam avasham prakritir vashad. Through these two verses, Krishna wants to point out to us that there is a system how everything works in this world. We shouldn't get too concerned about it. The person who has created, it is his responsibility how to run this show. And that is why this whole background about creation spoken to us. That not to get too much affected by that. Krishna is saying to us, you mind your business and get out from here rather than trying to change what I have created. That will not work. That will not work. Because you can see that nature in us, most of us, we when the mind becomes too external, the immediate thing what we want to do is to correct this world, isn't it? And change the world and bring it in order. This is all a kind of illusion that is. Maya that is prompting us to do that. Rather, the intelligent thing is to come to the senses. That these verses are showing that to us. Krishna is saying, kalpakshaye punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. That I know what I have done and Maya is doing it according to my direction. Everything is happening according to my direction. And example for that is Krishna is saying that you are not independent because every night you are also following the same rule on your own. According to that direction. You are going off to sleep, you come back in the morning and then you are operating. So why do you think that you have the responsibility to run? Including we, Shri is saying all my living entities are going to sleep, waking up in the morning. In the same way, under the direction of Maya, the creation comes, creation disappears. Creation comes, creation disappears. You don't have to be too much involved in that. That's the point. So why come and put your hands into it? In other words, so once it so happened, a great Siddha. Siddha means one who has got Siddhis. There was a Siddha there and a blind person came to him. A blind person came to him. And he told him to Siddha that I'm suffering heavily because I can't see. I'm blind, he said therefore. So Siddha, this person, Siddha told him, what can I do? That is Ishwara Niyati. Niyati means that is destiny. What can be done about that, he said. And he also told him, even if you get your eyes corrected, you know, eyes given the eyesight, there's nothing to see here, he said. It may sound heavy, isn't it, to tell someone like that. He told him, there's nothing to see here, he said to him. So, so he told him, outside there is nothing to see. See what is inside, he said to him. He told him to see what is inside. At that time, the Siddhas had one disciple who was sitting there. So that disciple told the Siddha, Swamiji, why you say like this to him? That's very harsh on him to say like that. And this is something which if you want, you can change it. You are capable of doing that because God has the Siddhis in him. You could have done that, isn't it? Can you not give him that vision to him? So Siddha says to him, whatever Ishwara, Krishna has decided, that is better not to go against that. Krishna has put him for some reason, he has put him in that state. It's better that I don't go against that and change it everything, he said. And whatever Krishna has decided, destiny has decided, that is what is going to happen. So that is the universal intelligence. The universal intelligence is Krishna's intelligence, isn't it? That universal intelligence, he said, we should have the trust in that. That's why it is happening, all these things. He said like that. But you should never go against that. That is the principle in the Vedic philosophy, that you don't go against the nature. The nature has decided certain things, it's meant to be in that way. So that time the disciple says to him that, okay, you are saying all these things, big things, but he won't understand that if you tell him like this. And then he said that only you will know when you become blind, then you will know all these things. He says to the Siddha like that. So, and this disciple kept insisting that you can actually give him back the vision, give him the vision. So you should do that. He kept insisting. Who? The disciple. So insisting. So the blind person was waiting there, and the Siddha says to him, "All right." And he put his hands on the head and blessed him that he will get your vision back. You'll get your vision back. And he got his vision back at that time. So the disciple felt very happy that he has managed. He felt that he was a part of getting the vision back to this person who was blind, isn't it? So what did he open? He rubbed his eyes and he was started seeing everything properly, and he felt very happy. At that time, the spiritual master told him that this person who had lost his vision and who got it back now, he paid his obeisances to the Siddha, and then he left the room. So when he left the room, the Siddha told the disciple, "You go after him now. See what he's doing." He sent him. So when he sent him like that, so find out what he's doing, he said. So he went after him. Straight away, he went to the bar to get his drinks. To get drinks. He wanted to get drunk. Because he could see things now, how people are enjoying. So the first thing what he wanted was to get drunk. And after he got drunk, he went and did so many other nonsense after that. After he was drunk, so many other nonsense he did, and he became a number one criminal after that. Next thing, because he need money and all that kinds of things. So, so the disciple who was watching all these things, he got surprised that he has gone and done all these things. So he went and caught him and told him, "What are you doing?" he said. "I got you this vision after a lot of persuasion from the Siddha, and this is what you are doing," he said. So that man says to him, "I had this desire to do before, I couldn't do it. But now I got my eyes, I thought that I may as well do the things what I can do now." He says, "I couldn't do it before, now I got a chance to do it," he said. So the disciple understood now why the Siddha was saying that. He says to him that, "By giving you one distress, he has saved him from many other distress." Isn't it? That's what Krishna has done to him. Given him one distress. By giving that one distress of blindness, he has saved him from several other distresses what he was going to create on his own. So that is the situation. So so as soon as you remove that one first distress, so many other distress followed that. So this is the same thing. In material nature, you will know that everything what you think you're going to do something good here to anyone in this world, in reality, when you analyze it, you can see there are side effects of that. In some form, it will come in a bad way also. Does not mean that you shouldn't do anything good. That's not what it means. Whatever Krishna has given you the opportunity to do the proper thing, you should do that. Whatever Krishna has given an opportunity to do that. Otherwise, and that will be taken as swadharmam, and it should be executed properly. And you should also not think that you are doing it. So if Krishna gives us a chance to do it, it should be done and should be left with that. And you should not be too concerned about the result also from there. Instead, if you start seeing the results and also the mistakes or the after effects of all that, and you start repairing all that, it will all end up like this in this story. Because prakriti, material nature, is not ours, it is Krishna's. Material nature is Krishna's. Therefore, a Krishna also knows that how the material nature should be. That also Krishna knows about that. And when it should get destroyed, and Krishna knows, and we cannot put our hands into it. We cannot put our hands into it. So, so therefore, all spiritually realized souls, if you are in their association, they'll always tell you, don't try to repair anything in the system. Don't try. Always remember what purpose you have come for. You come for self-realization, follow that. Don't get too absorbed in the institution or to get worried about it's going in this way or that way. That's all not going to help very much. Not enter into any field or faction which is not yours. Do not enter into the track of self-initiated action. Self-initiated action. Perform your action selflessly and kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. If you do it without kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, and that will become the austerity and penances. It will purify us and eventually qualify us for receiving the transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And Krishna has spoken all that in that verses. Because Krishna is saying there, all activities are executed by prakriti, karmam. All karmam is executed by prakriti. So then the question comes, if prakriti is doing all the karmam, will that not have any effect on the soul? This question will come. In order to answer that, Krishna is speaking the next verse. Verse 9. Na cha mam tani karmani nibhadranti dhananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu na cha mam tani karmani nibhadranti dhananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu nacha mam tani karmani nibhadrandi dhananjaya udasinavad asinam asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. Now, here, again, Atma is not bound by any karma. That is the principle what is coming through that. Atma, the soul, is never bound by anything. Any karma what we do has no bondage. That is why in the Bhagavatam, if you remember, Krishna mentions that bandham, mukti, these two things is due to modes of nature. There is no such thing called liberation. There is no such thing called bondage either. Gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, the same principle, Krishna is saying here, Najamam thani karmani nibhadranti dhananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. That, O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. When Krishna says me, it means the soul cannot be bound by anything. Only then it will fall correctly with the Bhagavatam statement. That I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. When Krishna is ever detached, means even in ourselves, if you look, the soul has no time bound by anything. Because if the soul is bound by anything, what is actually bound is what? Bound is a subtle body. Subtle body is bound. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Therefore, because a subtle body is there, therefore we have to accept another body. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the second chapter, you will see the same problem there. In one instance, Krishna says, Atma cannot be touched by anything, Atma cannot be, nowhere Atma will be bound. And another says, Krishna is saying, you have to keep changing the body, isn't it? So what is causing the change? It's a subtle body that's causing the change. It's a subtle body that's always getting affected by everything, nothing to do with the soul. Moment we reach our spiritual platform, identification with the soul, everything is over, the business is over. After that, there is no more transmigration of the soul. Transmigration is for the subtle body, not for the soul. So long as we have identification with the subtle body or with the gross body, we'll live one day anyway. But subtle body we won't be able to shed. That'll take us to the next body. So, but in all these circumstances, soul has nothing to do with anything. That is the beauty of the soul. He is never touched by anything what is going on. So Krishna is saying here, Najamam Thani Karmani. In other words, Krishna, who is Andaryami inside. Andaryami means the who is present inside as the soul, he is never touched by any karma that is done by the body or the mind. By the body or the mind. One who has woken up to this reality, Krishna says, Yatha Pushkara Bhashasho Apo Ashlishyade Evam Vidhi Papam Karma Na Shlishyade. Just like a lotus leaf, how the water does not touch the leaf, water doesn't. Similarly, one who has realized this thing, that none of them is affecting the self inside, such a person, any activity if he performs, no reactions will cause any problem for him. Problem for him. Karma. No karma can cause any problem for him. Any of the ill effects will have any problem for him. He can do anything. It will not cause any problem. That does not mean that you can go and do anything, saying that, oh, it's not touching my soul, so I'm going to kill somebody. That's not what it means. In other words, once you have reached that state of self-realization has happened in a person, he will only do what should be done. That's all he will do after that. He will not do, that means there will be no vikarmam, there will be no ugragarmam, nothing like that. Any karma that comes through that body after self-realization will be only what is required to be done. What is required to be done. So, the moment this has woken up inside, at that moment his mind is finished. There is no more mind in that person anymore. That is the end of the mind. Mind finishes there. Mind is no more existence. Because he is not working anymore through the mind. Mind is completely disappeared. So, it says that he will be a perfect. In other words, at the moment we work through our false ego and the mind, isn't it? And we operate through the senses. But once the false ego has disappeared, the mind has disappeared, what happens then? The body becomes simply an instrument. Whatever Krishna puts it through that body, that is what will happen. So, whatever that power, the force that runs this whole creation, he, that person, will become an instrument or a machine in the hands of that power. In the hands of that power. So, in that situation, what he will do, if you ask that question, he will not do anything whatever Krishna has not done through that body. And whatever is meant to happen that through that body, what Krishna has decided that it must happen through that body, that alone will happen at that time. And if he has to fight the war, he will fight the war. And that is why Krishna says to Arjuna, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning you can see, you have been born to fight the war. Krishna says to Arjuna. And if you say that, I'm not going to fight the war, it's not going to work. He says to him. And you will come back to this automatically. You will come back to this. Because you are born for that. In other words, to show the strength of the vasanas in a person. According to the vasana, whatever has to happen will happen. So, because when you are born, you come with that power inside. With that power means that vasana inside, that you have come with the power to fight. With the power to fight. That is the already packaged inside. Naturally, it has to come out. It has to exhort. Therefore, you can't do anything about it, Krishna says to Arjuna. So, if it has to be done like that, it will happen. And if it is not his dharma, for example, Arjuna's case as a Kshatriya, that was his dharma. So, he has to do that. If it was not his dharma, he will not do that. And once that false ego goes away from inside, then he will not do whatever karma he does in this world. That is not his karma anymore. Just like a musician takes the flute and he plays the flute and he sings a nice song with the flute. So, the kirtanam, that kirtan that's coming through the flute, is not the kirtanam of the flute. It is his kirtanam, isn't it? The person who is playing it. It is his kirtanam that's coming out. So, but what the flute does is, flute becomes simply an instrument to produce the sound whichever way he wants it. And that is the situation with the realized soul and Krishna. When Krishna decides that a realized person has to do certain things, that will happen through him. That's all. They will exist in this world as an instrument of Krishna. That is what it mentions like that. So there is a story about that, that Radharani asked Krishna about that, to Krishna, that Krishna says to Krishna, Krishna's got a flute all the time, isn't it? So he says to Radharani says to the flute, how fortunate you are. Always Krishna keeps you with him. Even me, Radharani, Radharani says to the flute, sometimes he disappears from us. We can't see him. But you are always kept with Krishna. So, so what have you done specially for this, to get to this good fortune? So either he hand holding you in the hand, or you he puts you on your on his hip in the pidambaram, he puts it underneath that. He said, flute says to Radharani, the reason for that is I have nothing in my hand. I am hollow, he says. The flute says, therefore, whatever Krishna is singing, that comes out through me. That's all it is. I'm not doing anything else. So you can imagine a musician is singing in a concert, and he's playing a flute. Now flute starts singing its own kirtan instead of what the musician is singing. What will happen? So that is the situation here. So so if the flute does something different, then flute is not doing its job right, isn't it? So when the flute becomes exactly what the singer wants to sing, if it comes to, then the flute has done its job properly. So that is why he says, I am hollow. Therefore, there is no problem. Krishna keeps me with him. In other words, that's why the flute is called his hollowness. We are called his holiness, isn't it? But his hollowness is higher than his holiness. So, not his holiness, he flows through you. That means Krishna flows through you, and then you become his. So his holiness becomes his holiness then. Hollowness becomes the holiness. So only a person totally hollow can be holy. Only a person totally hollow can be holy. Perfect instrument. And in other words, that power, Krishna, controls that person to such a degree that he simply becomes an instrument in Krishna's hands, and he doesn't have a will of his own. Self-will doesn't exist anymore. In other words, he is not particular, it should be like this or it should be like that. He simply becomes an instrument. Whichever situation Krishna has put in, he will accept that, and he is very happy with that. And such a person, Krishna says, nothing will touch him. Nothing will. That is that verse he is saying. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnandi dhananjaya. Krishna says, such a person who has reached that state, no karma will create any problem, bondage. It won't bind him at all. So, nanibadnandi. So, otherwise, Krishna is creating so many things, isn't it? Creation, maintenance, destruction. And if all this karma what Krishna has done, if it is going to affect Krishna, Krishna has come and done a lot of karma in this world. Generally, what we say is that when Krishna has done so many things in this world, right from childhood, he has to go to prison for thieving. He should have been. And then never went to school, went after the gopis and having a time like that, and then started, killed his uncle. Isn't it? So from our point of view, if you start looking at it, Krishna should have been affected by all this karma. All the karma should have affected karma. But you will say like that, for all what Krishna has done, you have to lock him up. First thing, for what he has done. Isn't it? But but Krishna is saying that none of them will touch me. Now you may say that it is because it is Krishna that it is. For us it's not like that. No, it's not. The reason is this. Why Krishna is saying that is, because Krishna is always on the spiritual platform, no karma can touch Krishna. That is the important thing. If we also come to the same platform, like Krishna is, then our karma also won't touch us. It is true with all the jnanis, great devotees, mahatmas, everything. So that is what happens when self-realization happens. Generally, devotees will say, oh, it's Krishna can do anything because it is Krishna, isn't it, after all. So that is one way of seeing, that's a devotee's point of view. But jnani's point of view is that Krishna has is operating all the time on the platform of the soul, never identifies with the body under any circumstances. There is no material body for Krishna is concerned, no identification like that. That is why you will see when Krishna was in the householder life, if you read Bhagavatam, you will see this. Krishna is the householder life. He had 16,108 wives with whom he had a he had expanded himself, and in the early hours in the morning, Krishna used to get up very early in the morning and engage in meditation. What was he meditating upon? What is Krishna meditating upon? That question comes, isn't it? What does meditation mean? Meditation means this, that a short period of time, whatever it is short to us, that waking up in the morning means to be situated on the platform of the self. In order to show to us, Krishna was doing that. Krishna doesn't need any meditation because he's always on the platform of the soul. That's why Bhagavatam, it mentions there that when Krishna wakes up, he engaged in meditation. He was in the meditation. To show to us that we also, instead of falling down to the platform of the body, waking up in the morning should always be towards the soul. Wake up as the soul, not as the body. We wake up as the body, isn't it? How do we wake up? First thing we wake up, we make sure that all the parts are there in the body. Nothing has gone, isn't it? So, or if we have slept in the last night with some pain somewhere, we check up whether it's gone or not. So absorbed in the body, we wake up. And Krishna doesn't like it. That is not the way to wake up. Always we should wake up on the platform of the soul, not in the platform of the body. It takes, for us, waking up to the soul is after many hours. If somebody gives a good punch or some misery comes in life, slowly we'll start thinking, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? We ask the question. Otherwise, who bothers about all? This is what spiritual life means. So that's why if you study Pradasmarana Sotram, there is a famous prayer, how to wake up in the morning. Not to wake up into the body or to the mind, but wake up to the soul. That's what we are, isn't it? So if you wake up with that understanding, the whole day will remain better in the platform of the soul. It's not that we have to go to the platform of the soul for an hour in a day on a mental or intellectual level. No, the waking up process itself should be to, as the soul we should wake up, not as body. To show that Krishna has done that. Brahma Dhyanam, Brahma Vicharam in the morning. Self-inquiry. Krishna is doing that to give, show it to us. Not for Krishna's sake, but for us. That means in the platform of the soul, in the platform of the soul, that is the way to wake up. So you can see there, these distance differences, that good, bad, all these things are creation of the mind later. Isn't it? Creation of the mind. Later on, it is coming from that. Just like you know that there is a video clip, you can see that. I mentioned this before also. That leopard, it caught hold of a monkey. It was a pregnant monkey. So when monkey is the food for that leopard, caught hold of that, and is going to kill, by then due to the fear and everything, the mother delivered the baby. The mother leopard delivered the baby. As soon as the baby came out from the mother, he stopped. By then the mother died out of the fear and out of all the fight it had with the leopard. But then the leopard didn't kill the baby. What did the leopard do? Leopard took the baby away and took it to a tree and kept there on the tree. And the leopard stayed at the bottom as a protection for the baby. Protection for the baby. This happened. This is a real thing. You can see that video in the YouTube still. They are showing this there. And how did this happen? Normally, that leopard would have straight away killed and eaten. That's what it wanted from there. But as soon as the baby was born, some power has changed the mood of that leopard and brought that motherly feeling, compassion to the baby. Although it's not a leopard baby, it's a monkey baby. So this is the way nature works. This is the way nature works. So here you can see that when other animals came to eat this baby, the leopard protected that baby, which was killed by them. So, and most amazing thing was, scene was that consciously these animals, they start showing compassion, consciously. Said, you may say, normally what is the nature of a leopard? Very cruel, isn't it? As soon as he wants to get something, he wants to eat. So what suddenly switched from that cruelty to this compassion state? How did that happen? So, so do they do it? Oh, this I'm doing some social service, like we say. No, there is no arrangement like that. Material nature has all arrangements in it that when it has to protect a living entity, that protective force will work. Somehow or the other, it will work through some source, some agency. And at that time, that it is not consciously cruel. Normally it is cruel by nature, but it's not consciously cruel, and cruelty will not affect him. Why? Because he is situated in the prakriti. It is material, the material nature. So that is why in Vedic literature you will see in all the prayers in the Sri Rudram, if you look, Sri Rudram is a very famous prayer in the Vedam. In there, while addressing Lord Shiva, it mentions like this, Rudraide Dakshinam Moham Te Namam Pahi Nityam. One side, Shiva has a very fearful nature of destruction. On the other side, he also has a protective nature. Both are there in the same person. Both are there in the same person. So that destructive, frightening nature sometimes comes out in the form of hunger or a kind of bodily distress in some form. Ashanabi pape ashana pipasehi mrityuhu. Ashanam pipasehi mrityuhu. That means hunger and thirst is also one aspect of that. One aspect of that. And you can see one living entity, it has got hunger and thirst. And another living entity becomes its food. So in order to satisfy the hunger and thirst of one living entity, another living entity has to sacrifice its life, its body, in other words, isn't it? It's a law of the material nature. So, so it is like that, but from the same person, from the same, what you call the leopard, both sides are coming out. Both sides are coming out. At one moment, the mother was killed by the leopard because it was hungry, it was its food, it had every right to kill and eat. But the very next moment, that motherly feeling came through that leopard. So who switched this? How did this happen? How did this happen? So one side is peaceful and love, kind, merciful nature, motherful nature, all that you see in the leopard. On the other side, but at that point you have to remember that it did not do this, that thinking that it is my child. The leopard didn't do that. But when it was doing that, it is not a leopard, rather it's a mother. It's more like a mother than a leopard. But that cruelty of the leopard did not affect that leopard. On the other hand, leopard started showing the mercy to that baby in such a way like a mother. It was acting at that time. So, actually, the leopard who looked at that baby is not a leopard. On the other hand, in the form of the leopard, material nature has come as a mother for that baby. In the form of a leopard, the material nature has come as a baby. So whatever that is appearing in this world, normally as a leopard, in the form of cruel, ferocious nature, it is that same force now has come through that body in another form. The force is the same, you have to remember that. It's the same force, it came in one form through that body at one time, and in another form through the same body, in another way. So, if you realize this, and through your experiences in life, that is what realization means. That's what actual realization means. Ishvara Darshanam, in other words. So you can see this also in the Bhagavad Gita, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. On one side, everybody likes Krishna. Everybody likes Krishna. Very nice, isn't it? Krishna is very nice, playing flute, dancing with the gopis. That's all one side of Krishna. There is another side of Krishna which is not very pleasant to see. When Arjuna saw that side of Krishna, he says, I don't want to see this anymore. You will see that in the 11th chapter. What did he say? Krishna, Arjuna says to him, Akhyahi mego bhava nugraruva namostu de devavara prasida. He says, Krishna, Akhyahi mego bhava nugraruva. This ugrarubam, that side of Krishna, he didn't want to see. Who? Arjuna didn't want to see. He only wanted to see the pleasant and the nice way Krishna has behaved before. So why do we not like that other side? What is the reason why we don't like that? We want an explanation for that, isn't it? Why we only like the one side, not the other side? So so we didn't ask for the explanation for when Krishna is very nice. Isn't it? We want explanation when Krishna is acting in a troubled way. So in all religions, generally, you will see that they have not given, God has not been given in any ferocious way. Isn't it? Another form is not given. Only the good form, pleasing way, or in a way that is pleasant, or we can accept. We want to see that form, but not the other side of Krishna. But in Vedic philosophy, both exist. Both are a part. Krishna is saying here that that you will see, if you look into our fifth canto of Bhagavatam, there is a photograph there on the cover itself. And that's not very pleasant to look at. Kali dancing there with many hands and many legs after Jatabharata was going to be killed by the priest. Kali appeared there. What is Kali doing there? Kali has taken all the intestines, killed everybody, took their intestines and put it on the throat, and holding the skull in the hand, she is dancing. It's a very frightening form that is shown in the fifth canto. You will see the fifth canto part one. If you look, you will see the cover picture. So, and she is drinking the blood. She's drinking the blood. Now people will ask, that how come your God has got all these kind of things? People are, and similarly, when Narasimha Murthy is killing Hiranyakashipu, you will see, go to the manor, sometimes school children come there. School children, they're so young, isn't it? 8, 10 years. And they've been told, this is God, look at the God. God is sitting there and taking out, stripping off all the intestines and taking the blood out and drinking. And half man, half lion form. Everybody is looking at that photo. They are not looking at Krishna. They are looking at this photo all the time. So how do we understand from that? The reason is this, that we all have a certain concept about God in our mind. That God is always very nice to shake hands with. And always is a gentleman. No, that's not the principle in the Vedic philosophy. It's like this, that force is one force. It appears in different forms according to the situation. So what happened was, many, many years ago, when one famous sannyasi was there in Calcutta, and plague happened in Calcutta. Many people died, thousands and thousands of people died. So this sannyasi was sitting and crying at that time, seeing the situation there. So in the night time, Kali appeared in front of him, and Kali says to him that, it's not good enough if you only see the good things in this world and enjoy it. Sometimes you have to see the other side of also, other side of that creator. He has got the other side. Worship the terrible, then only you transcend the terrible. So that is how the other worship is also there. That is why you cannot completely write off all other worship forms. People are worshipping in different forms, isn't it? Kali worship, everything is there. Because many people who have that experience also, they will need that worship. Both are different sides of the same power. The same power has two different sides. On one side, it's everything is very nice. You can cook nice sweets, offer, and take prasadam, dance, chant, feast, and sing your way to the spiritual world. That's one side. there's another side also, which is not always very easy. Like Jadabharata had to sit and watch this, what was going on. Imagine, Jadabharata is a devotee, isn't it? And a realized soul. So he was completely unaffected by anything what happened at that time. Anything. Nothing was affecting him. This Kali comes to Jadabharata and asks him, what shall I do for you? Jadabharata says, Jadabharata thought, why should I talk to her? This is what his attitude was. He says, what's the point in talking to her? She already knows the truth. What am I supposed to tell her? So he didn't want to speak to her at all. So, but because he's a devotee and he wanted to, she wanted to protect him, she had to do this and she went back to the deity room. Again back to the, disappeared from there. So that you can see there. So there, the important thing is here that we also have to know not only the beautiful side of Krishna, also the frightening side of Krishna, like Arjuna experienced, and we should know how to worship that form also. Krishna's difficult side. The easy side is much better, but the difficult side is difficult, more difficult, which is these forms like this. So worship the terrible, then only you can transcend the terrible. So if you do like that, it will not affect us. If you know the both sides of it, you won't get affected by the thing. So in the story of that leopard, you can see on one side it is terrible, frightening, and at the next moment, just like a mother. Once it so happened that a cat delivered a baby kitten and it died, and mother died. So another cat saw the baby. This happens very often in the villages. Another cat who saw the baby comes and feeds this newborn kitten. It's not its mother, but another cat comes and feeds that. So how does the milk come for this cat then? It hasn't given a baby birth, but still the milk is coming. And scientists still haven't found an answer for that. They are saying hormones and all that. What hormones is this? Everything they've got a word for. They'll say something like that. So, and somebody asked about this veterinary doctor. He says that phenomenon is very difficult to explain, he said. So how does another mother who has not even delivered the baby, the milk was coming through as soon as she saw this baby without milk. It was able to give that. So that motherhood, matrutvam, is arrangement is from the material nature. Material nature arranges that. So that power which comes as mercy or compassion through anyone, that is what is called grace. That's what's called grace. So, and all the realized soul, they know this, that there is this force operating all the time in this world. And they cannot live in this world without that. It is that force that's operating through them all the time. Because they're conscious of that, whatever activities do, that will be in line with the dharma. It will not go outside the dharma. So we will stop there. It's 5:00. We'll see tomorrow then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.